and welcome back to this, the final stream on the ninth night of Millennial 8. I'm now here with Johnny Monoxide and Alt Skull from the Paranormies. So, well, this is your first time on Millennial, so welcome to Millennial.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much for having us.
All right. So I guess the first thing to say is ask you what is the Paranormies, and then we'll get onto what is the paranormal. Go
right,
for it.
Well, the Paranormies is a podcast that I started with several different people. We are on our seventh season, and we just originally was a bunch of guys that would get on Skype and talk about stuff, and we started recording it. We put it out on YouTube. People started listening. We finally got banned at like 25,000 subscribers because we mentioned things. We talk about things that you're not supposed to talk about, especially on YouTube. And then we've developed. I mean, over the years, guys came and went. I was involved in Charlottesville, so I got doxxed. And when I got doxxed, a lot of the guys left. So I picked up a couple of different co-hosts along the way. And like I said, we're on our seventh season. This is the second season. It's called third season that you've been on.
I came on originally, I believe, in 2018 for the moon landing, first moon landing episode. And I've been on and off ever since, but much more frequently recently. Yeah.
Yeah. The moon landing one was one of the big ones that a lot of people either love or hate about us. So
I'm guessing you're, well, before we get to that. So what is the paranormal? Just in case anyone doesn't know what the paranormal is, because I think some people aren't quite clear. Like, they've heard of it, but they don't really know. So which of you would like to explain that?
Well, a lot of people like to consider like the supernatural, the paranormal, things they can't explain. I don't know, like remote viewing and ESP and all those other kinds of things. Those are all forms of paranormal activity, I guess. Ghosts are paranormal. The Mandela effect is a paranormal thing. I don't know. There's like such a broad range of things that it goes in there. I mean, the actual, let me see, hold on. What does Webster say? Beyond the range of normal experience or scientific explanation. So yeah, it's pretty broad.
Okay. So it's like X-Files territory.
Basically.
Right. Okay. And what would be, but this also, verges into political, what some people would call conspiracy territory. I mean, I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm just noting it because a lot of this stuff seems to have been covered up, for want of a better way. Well, one way or the other, there's quite a large history at this point of the US government apparently being involved with things and then covering it up or intervening and so on. Would one of you like to take that and talk about that?
Oh, man. The United States government covering things up. I mean, we could be here all night on that one.
Yeah, I know.
How far do you want to go back with the false flags? I mean, you know, 1776, 1620, before that even.
Lexington and Concord was apparently a false flag of some sort that was.
Hold on, what?
Lexington and Concord was apparently a false flag that was initiated by the group of Masons who were the revolutionary first Americans who wanted to overthrow the monarchy, which was the same group that was involved with the overthrow of the monarchy in France in 1789, just a few years after that. So, yeah, I mean, it goes back about as far as American history goes. And it honestly, once you start studying this stuff, you realize that this is just a part of the way that society has always worked, and there's always been this power structure that wrests power from the people and then maintains power by lying and controlling their minds and propagating a narrative that makes it easy to control people. And it's often by providing something in the form of like, hey, we're going to take care of you. We're going to protect you as long as you give us all your power, and you need to believe this narrative and repeat it. And if you don't, well, we're going to make your life hell. So it's just going on today, no different than it was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. It's just got different trappings and a new form of technology in order to propagate it. And I would say it's, right now it's on steroids.
Absolutely on steroids.
Well, there's I know that there are many different theories about, you know, things like the Nephilim and the Illuminati and all of that. I mean, do you have a a personal thesis for all of this stuff? What is true and what is not? Or do you basically think that all of it is true? What would you say about this?
That's a tough one, because, I mean, all of it can be true and all of it can be fake. There's theories that this entire thing that we're involved in that we call life is just a simulation. It's a computer generated simulation, and that we are merely like Ryan Reynolds in Free Guy. We are the star in our own role-playing game, our own first-person perspective role-playing game.
The Truman Show kind of thing.
Well, that's another thing that we talk about on the show, that kind of, we're a mix of the Matrix and the Truman Show. They realized that they couldn't just have one Truman. Everybody had to be Truman, and there had to be less actors. So that's what they, and then the Matrix, obviously. I mean, Baudrillard with his simulation simulacrum, to quote another one of our friends, is very much, you know, I mean, from, was it Dark City and then the Matrix and then from so on and so forth. And, you know, to Westworld today, I mean, all the predictive programming and the media just, I mean, more and more and more, they're telling us that we live in a simulation. And going by the things that we see every day, the incredible amount of coincidences, numerical things that just could not happen naturally, organically, thousands of numerical coincidences that happen on television or in sports or in any sort of large event that happened, that there's no way that could happen unless it was some sort of a computer simulation. And that's a pretty deep theory, but that's kind of, we started off talking about ghosts and goblins and you know, Nephilim, and we ended up with with that.
Yeah, and we've only been going for 7.5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, I did see Dark City at the time at the cinema, and it was actually a film that I really liked at the time.
You I have to say real quick, I'm going to interject, you and Dogbot were two of the only five people that went to the theater and saw that.
Yeah, it was one of those flops, and I think they must have spent quite a lot of money on it.
Spent a ton.
Yeah, it looked incredible. But it was, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great film, I don't think. It was you know, the writing could have been better. The main actor might have been miscast, you know? but it certainly looked fantastic, very stylish, and the special effects. I remember the city remolding and all that. It was really cool, and I can see that they were going for something that, you know, if they'd managed it would have been a great film. But
well, the Dark City is actually the prequel to The Matrix, and it seems like, when they didn't achieve whatever it was that they wanted to achieve in terms of narrative with Dark City, they got it done with The Matrix. And, you know, some people can say that it jumped the rails with the second and third movie or anything like that. But if you look at, there's actually a lot of parallels between the two movies, the clothes that they wear, the original character from Dark City, the main character, I forget his name, but he's actually mentioned as the one, the original one who reset the Matrix before. And if you like really break the movies down, they're clearly a narrative linear progression of one movie to the next movie. So
I'm pretty sure that they actually, they were both filmed in Sydney, and I'm pretty sure I read somewhere recently that they were filmed almost consecutively, and sets from the Dark City were actually sort of showed up in The Matrix. I mean, I haven't analyzed it to spot these similarities, but I know that it was a thing. The Matrix, now I should say, I've seen the first film. Again, I saw that at the cinema at the time. But then I didn't see the second or third, and I haven't seen the fourth either.
Oh, don't start with the fourth.
So, well, why don't we talk about that? Let's talk about the first Matrix film. We can go through them in sequence, and you can explain each of them to me so that I don't need to watch them.
Sure.
That might be an act of charity on your part. The first Matrix film, I mean, I can talk about that. The guy wakes up, and Neo, finds out that his whole reality has been manufactured, a digital lucid, what would you say, a hallucination thing. And that's the Matrix. And in fact, the world, the real world, is all machines, and it's post-apocalyptic. What happens in the second one?
More of the same. Like, they go, was the second one the one with the rave? I don't remember.
I believe it's the second one.
Oh my God. Okay. So they get to like the Zion, which there's a lot of that, you know, Zion and the Nebuchadnezzar and all these biblical references in the movies. And there, like Neo being the one is the Messiah, you know, that whole deal. The third one, I think, is when they broke down the actual Matrix itself, right?
Yeah, they went from the quote unquote real world, which was the underground city of Zion, into the Matrix. And the whole point of the third one was to reset the Matrix, which is the narrative that they're doing right now is the Great Reset, and what they try to do with these big grand narratives of society that they use to control society is they get something and they squeeze everything out of it until it doesn't work anymore, and then they need to redo it. So in this case, if you want to talk about it on a really materialistic level, the monetary system is done and they need to move the narrative into something else. And they've got this fourth industrial revolution that they're talking about now. The Great Reset. I mean, they're just telling you what they're doing, right? They're like, oh, we're going to do this and you guys are going to go along with it. And they're going to induct, is that the word? They're going to introduce an entirely new way of living for people, which is, I believe, what all this COVID and the vaccinations and the new technology and the interconnectedness and the tracking and tracing and surveillance state and all this stuff. It was actually introduced with 9/11 and the Patriot Act is all leading toward is this new variation of the Matrix that we all live in. And a lot of people will be like, well, we don't live in a Matrix. Who do you think, we're in a pod or somewhere and everything's a hallucination? It's like, well, you kind of are, because if you believe what comes off of the screen in front of you every day, the entire constructed narrative for you, every bit of it is a lie. Like if you turn on the television news, 100% of what they show on the news, aside from maybe a little bit of a fluff story about a local kitten being rescued from a tree, is all lies, all of it, 100% of it. And I think pretty much most people that follow our circles will agree at least to that much. And probably they'll look at a few of the things that Johnny and I believe and they'll be like, whoa, you know, that's a bridge too far. But if you took what most of us believe and introduced it to a normie, the normie is going to think that you're just as crazy as we are for believing the things that we do. So there's really not a whole lot of difference between the two things.
Oh, yeah. That's something that came up with COVID in the last couple of years. I mean, I always believed that, you know, well, for a long time, I've believed that race is a real thing, that, you know, the races are different, and that it's biological, that men and women exist and are different, and that it's biological.
Whoa, easy there, bigot.
That already, I mean, that should be just basic, like baseline common sense. But I think at this point, everything I just said is actually quite outrageous. Now, I do have other beliefs that I'm not going to go into because for obvious reasons. But that alone, what I've just said, is probably a lot of people would already think that I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've said similar things, you know, at work. I work in construction. I've said things that, like, you know, I don't believe women really belong in, you know, in the labor trades, you know, and it's not that I don't think they can do it. It's that I just don't think, women, you know, I have what we call traditional gender roles programmed into me, you know, and that makes me like, people look at you like you're insane nowadays if you say that, you know, because, well, what is a woman? First of all, you can't use that term. You know, just using the term woman nowadays, you womb haver, okay, you bigot, it's a womb haver or whatever it is. Like, it's terrible and it's confusing, and I think it's meant to be confusing. And the older you get, the more confusing it gets. Yeah, have you noticed that? Like, old people are always confused about all the new stuff. I think that's done on purpose.
Yeah, and if you want to bring it back to the theme of the Matrix again, all of these things that we're discussing, if you brought up any of this in 1990, this would just be like, oh, duh. Obviously, women are women. They're born biological females. No one had any idea where any of this was going. And now, if you bring it up, it's as if you live in a different reality from these people.
Mm-hmm. And they were around in 1990 and would have thought it was just as crazy as you would back then. If you told people in 1990, what's the one picture where you see all the Democrats in the African clothes doing the bending down thing, right? If you showed that to somebody in like 1995, you're like, what is this all about? And they're like, yeah, this is 2020 because a drug addict overdosed on a drug in a cop's presence. And they'll be like, you're crazy. That would never happen. You're insane. That's from a movie or something. That's something stupid. Like, no, that's 2020. And then skip ahead to 2022.
Trans kids
Oh, trans. Yeah,
absolutely.
The president would go on television and say, oh, not only do I love trans kids, but I think we need more of them.
And when he said recently that if you've got trans kids or something, the best way that you can help them is to get them the care that they need.
Right.
This was never needed before. This was never something that a president had to see before. Mm-hmm. And suddenly now it's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the lying, the dishonesty there, the scale of the deceit is beyond belief.
We make jokes about it at work all day long about gaslighting. We constantly gaslight each other at work because it's happening all the time everywhere. Everybody's getting gaslit by everything. They do love their gas.
Yeah. Well, the what was I going to say? But, oh, yeah. So COVID, yeah, trans kids is obviously there. Mm-hmm. And the specific link with kids as well. You know, this is a really interesting thing about the trans stuff. They're not talking about adults ever. It's always children. And this is a very, because it gets you into the, you know, they seem to be going for pedophilia. They seem to be trying to sexualize children and getting the general public okay with the idea that children are sexual too. Mm-hmm. Children are sexual beings. I mean, this is, even just 10 years ago, this would have been seen as absolutely outrageous. And
unless you were some Jewish psychiatrist who wrote a paper about it or something.
Yeah.
They do all the time. There's all the time. You go back and look through like Psychology Today or like psychological manuals or whatever you want to call it, references, and there you'll always find at least one somebody talking about, oh, kids can be sexualized or kids have
Alfred Kinsey, who's the famous psychologist from 120 years ago, who's cited now still today by other psychologists as being an authority. He used to do studies on pedophiles who were actively raping kids, and he used to get their stories of what they were doing and how the child reacted and if the child orgasmed, and this was seen as okay even back then. So this is actually not new. It's just that they've found a way finally to shove it through to the mainstream, and then, yeah, like you said, Johnny, gaslight everyone into, and I don't even think that the majority of people think it's okay, but now we're at a point in society where if you don't agree with the narrative that's being pumped up by the TV, you literally get your life destroyed. And so most people are terrified to either say anything, or they'll say something that's contrary to what their own morality tells them, just because they value their own safety more than they do the fabric of society. And they're doing something that is actually ironically going to destroy society and have it tear itself down. But, you know, we live in a world of cowards and people who really are. I mean, there's the meme that a bunch of people can't even visualize an apple in their head. And I wonder about these people. These are the same people who are allowed to have a conversation, you know, enjoy a conversation with us about what trans kids are, and these people are allowed to vote.
Oh,
I was amazed. Yeah, I was amazed when I discovered this, and you know, it's amazing that this was something we didn't know, that a large percentage of the populace don't have this inner voice. They don't have the inner monologue. And they can't visualize something like an apple. You know, I find this incredible.
I've actually gone around asking quite a few people, and it's surprisingly more often than not, I'll get, what do you mean? I can't, no, you can do that.
Like, that's so weird. Yeah.
It's very weird. It's just so strange to me. Like, or the one that came out the other day, it's like, I've been reading books my whole life. How do you make the pictures happen? What? I just see I hear the words, and this girl said she could hear the words in her head. Like, she's reading them, right? And it's like, I can hear the words, but I just have to, you know, like, I guess, I don't remember what she said, but she can't see the pictures in her head. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine reading
the
picture, what's in my head, or what I'm reading, or not being able to think back on something and remember what it looked like. And like, I can, the apple right now, it's red, it's got two bites spinning. Like, I can do all that stuff. Like, I don't comprehend how.
I can taste the apple.
I can taste apple when I want to. Like, it's amazing. And is it because of all the environmental toxins and stuff? And is it the dumbing down because of the education? Or is it, it's literally a combination of all that stuff? All the stuff that the Alex Jones types and the Paranormies types have been screaming about for years. it's basically true. I mean, like, I forgot what year it was, 2020 or 2021. They call it the year of the conspiracy theorists, like all the memes, you know. If you or a friend have ever been called a conspiracy theorist, you may be entitled to compensation or an apology. Like, yeah.
Well, when we
should be called schizos.
When COVID broke in 2020, we here were the only people that we're aware of that were saying from the very beginning, from January of 2020, when the first fake Chinese videos started coming out, that the whole thing was clearly fake and that it was going to be used to push vaccines. And little did we know how far they were going to go with this thing, because no one's ever seen anything on this scale ever in known history. But at that time, we were being told, oh, this theory that you guys have, you guys are out of control. You're schizo. You're conspiracy theorists. You're talking about nanotechnology and 5G and these you're going to force vaccinate and they're going to spread this thing all over the place. The whole world's going to have to be vaccinated. They're going to stop you from being able to travel. You're going to need a vaccine passport. This is just ridiculous. You guys are fear-mongering in literally every single thing that we talked about. I can't think of a single thing that didn't eventually finally at least come true in the form of some evidence was shown that this was something that they were actually doing. Even crazy stuff like the nanotechnology in the vaccines and stuff. Well, there's been people who have done lots of experiments that have found lots of crazy stuff in these injections. I don't think they're all the same thing personally, but I mean, why wouldn't they take the opportunity to experiment with every single thing that they could have when they had a population of billions of people in order to work these experiments on? And they had this control structure that was able to be rolled in with this thing. And then everyone told us that we were supposed to be terrified because this was going to kill our grandma. And even the news, here's the craziest part, is even the news at the time was telling people that there was a 99.8% full recovery rate from this thing, that it wasn't actually dangerous. They're telling you that the hospitals are full, but then other people are going to the hospitals are completely empty. There's dancing TikTok nurse videos. So nobody really had any excuse to actually believe any of this. And yet here
they
we are.
Did. They yeah. did. I mean, we even like heard people give instructions on how to decontaminate your groceries, your takeout food. You know, like I was told, you know, the whole like you want to kill my grandma thing. I was literally told that this is because, you know, this is to protect the old people. And again, we've talked about this on the show before, but, you know, your grandmother's 89, 90 years old. You know, they have a pretty decent chance of dying from pretty much anything, right? And pneumonia gets more old people than pretty much anything else. And, you know, that whole thing, it's like none of this stuff actually protected anybody. We said from the beginning that none of these COVID measures were even effective at all. Nothing was effective. Masks are good, masks are bad. Double masks are good, double masks are bad. Three masks, four masks, who cares? Mask up your ass. Like, all those things. Like, mask your dog. I saw somebody mask their dog. In real life, with a mask on their dog, wasn't a joke. Masking in your car, masking on a bicycle, like that kind of fighting people over masks. What else? The 6 foot, all the things. And then the vaccine mandates that weren't mandates, but were mandates, but weren't mandates. All that stuff. And the double and triple speak from people like Fauci and Borla and, what's her face? Kaczynski, or what's her name, from the World Health Organization?
The Jewish lady, Susan Wojcicki something or other, yeah.
No, you're thinking of Susan Wojcicki from YouTube. That's the YouTube woman. I don't know what the World Health Organization woman is called.
I thought you were talking about Walensky.
Walensky.
That's her. Right. Sorry. No,
yeah, and all these people did was lie repeatedly and fearmonger. And meanwhile, they're fearmongering and Fauci's telling you, you know, we're going to have lockdowns. We got to do this. We got to have vaccines and all this is bad. And, you know, it's going to kill your grandmother. And meanwhile, the news is actually saying, like Skull said, it's 99.98% recoverable, just like most healthy people are with any kind of cold. And I said from the beginning that not only are they going to weaponize the flu, I was like, watch this. They're going to get the common cold in there somehow too. And along came Omicron. And that was literally the sniffles.
Well, as far as I know, they can't tell the difference, biologically, medically. They can't tell the difference between the common cold and COVID and the flu because they're all basically
they don't exist.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
They're basically again virus versus germ theory type things. We did two episodes on germ theory, I believe. Did we do two? We did too. And we've done so many episodes on the COVID and the germ theory and the vaccines and all this stuff. And it's like Empire of Dust is also tiresome at this point. You know, I'm so sick and tired of people being petrified of the sniffles, you know. And again, COVID's coming back. Oh, no. And now the flu is back. And it's like,
The flu disappeared for a year and now the flu is back. And I've actually had normal conversations in my day to day life about, I got the flu, for the first time in my life when I was 40, I'm 46 now. Earlier this year, I got the flu, which was apparently COVID. And it was the same as the thing I got when I was 40 years old. And I was telling people in the outside world, the IRL world, that I'd gotten the flu. And they were just like, wait, you got the flu? It wasn't COVID? You the flu, that's gone. There's no flu anymore. It's just COVID. But now the flu is coming back. It's like, yeah, it was always just the flu. That's why it was never
anything else. Yeah, I remember in that winter from 2020 to 21, there were no, I think it was in Britain that they counted zero flu deaths for that winter. And it sounds, I think I'm reporting that correctly, but it sounds so insane that people believed this, that somehow the flu has just vanished from the face of the fucking earth. how could that happen? And I remember
hundreds of thousands of people die every year of the flu and just poof, 1 year gone.
Magic. Yeah. Yeah. And someone said to me, well, it's because of all the social distancing and the wearing masks. So it's obviously combated the flu so effectively that,
but not COVID.
First, and no one's died from it. So maybe we should do this every year, kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. They go, well, we don't have the flu because everybody's masking and doing the COVID measures. Oh, cool. So why do we have COVID? Because nobody's wearing masks and everybody, nobody's social distancing. I'm like, wait a minute. You just said the other thing. You can't do that. Like, it's either one or the other. And these people don't realize, like, they don't realize that they talk like that. Like, the double speak, it's very Orwellian. The whole COVID thing was extremely Orwellian, all of it. And now we have a credit score in several countries.
What would you say to someone who said, yeah, everything you're saying is true. It was all a psyop. It was all fake. But it was basically 1 billion. It was Bill Gates. And it was one, what's the word for that? Like a magnate, a very, very rich guy who just did this in order to make money. What would you say to that?
Well, you want to go? You go first, Scott.
Well, okay. If you want to look at the way that they pulled this off, I don't think that there's a viable explanation in terms of individual humans being responsible personally, because the entire world, the entire first and second world and much of the third world was in absolute lockstep as to COVID measures, as to laws that were enacted or acts or whatever you want to call them, dictates, as to the way to combat it. There wasn't a single country, not a single country, who said this is all fake. There wasn't even a single country that said, yeah, this is real, but it's completely overblown and we shouldn't really be doing all of this stuff.
Right. They killed all the African presidents that did.
Yeah. The few African guys that were in charge of their country were murdered they died. And they were immediately replaced by WEF friendly people. So I'm sure that's just a coincidence. And so even countries that we're told are mortal enemies of one another. So Russia and the EU or whoever, right? They had the same policies, the exact same policies.
Israel and Iran both did. Iran
even did the bit where one of their top generals was died of COVID. He died of COVID. Everybody had some top person who died of COVID. Not everybody was dying of COVID, but they had like one particular person who died of COVID because that was the same narrative across the board, no matter which country you went to. And that just gave the entire thing away for me, that I think that this is some kind of a one world system where, you know, Bill Gates he's a joke. He's a puppet that's put up there in order to draw the ire of people so that they're pointing this direction when the whole thing is something else. Right. And they can go, oh, that's the bad guy right there. It's Bill Gates. Oh, there's the bad guy. It's Fauci. And yeah, these people are contemptible. They're really disgusting, but I believe that they're disgusting on purpose. I don't think that they have any real power. Like, does anybody really believe that if Bill Gates wanted to become a Christian and start evangelizing sincerely and go against the system and say, you know what, I lied about all that, but I found God and I want to go and, you know, make amends for everything I've done. Like, would he be allowed to do that? Would he be allowed to use his money to do that? I have my doubts.
Well, I don't think that flesh husk could do that. I don't think he's actually a person anymore. Honestly, these people that are the World Economic Forum, the Bill Gates, what do we call them in the United States? We call them philanthropists. In other countries, they're oligarchs. If I was Russian, Bill Gates would be an oligarch, right? As far as that's how it works. We just call him philanthropists. It's great. He makes poop perfume, for crying out loud. Right? He made water, drinking water out of poop. Who does that? Bill Gates, only Bill Gates, right? And he's the vaccine guy. He wants to save the world. And if we, you know, control the population with vaccines, but like his TED talk, where he talked about we could bring the population down to a manageable number with, like, he says those things and it's done purposefully. All this stuff is done purposely. And he is like, there are people who are like, you know, the world economic has no real power. Oh, you guys are schizos for thinking so. But every leader of every nation is pretty much either a World Economic Forum college graduate or whatever their little forum that they go to. They have the little World Economic Forum thing on their little bio everywhere.
Young leaders.
Young Leaders Association, whatever it is. Jacinda Ardern and Trudeau and all these, you know, Boris Johnson and all these other, off the top of my head, Putin, Zelensky. All these guys are all World Economic Forum young leaders, you know, graduates. And they have no real power, but they're actually in power in these countries. So, yeah, they do have some power. And Klaus Schwab, yes, he does dress like Dieter from Sprockets. And he has a very thick German accent. And he, like, does all this stuff. But he's meant to be a straw man. Excuse me. And he's meant to draw the arrows and the ire and all that stuff. But he still runs the World Economic Forum, and he's been sitting next to everybody important for 60 years now. So whether you think they have power or not, like, your school is doing World Economic Forum stuff with your kids. So there's that power.
I mean, I guess what people would say to that is, well, why does this one organization have so much power? And I think that's kind of missing the point. The World Economic Forum, from my point of view, is just the thing that they use to do stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like it itself is in charge of the world. It's right. That those who are in charge of the world use that as their instrument. That's the form that they're using for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the World Economic Forum literally could just decide the fate of humanity tomorrow and go against all of this or something like that. It's that this is what they're using. This is their thing. That's the way I see it, at least. I don't think it's autonomous from power.
It's one of many things. You've got the World Economic Forum, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank. You've got the World Jewish Congress. And what else is there? And that's all in one place, I believe. That's all in Geneva, Switzerland. So, I mean, when you say the world, you know, the world is controlled by a one world system, it's strangely enough headquartered in one place, you know. And isn't that where what else is in Geneva? Isn't that the EU is in Brussels, right?
CERN.
Oh, CERN. Yeah. All that stuff. What else is in? We have a whole episode on Switzerland where we looked one thing up. And then during the show, we like fell down this rabbit hole of, wow, the headquarters for the world, you know, for the New World Order really is in Switzerland. It's kind of wild to see. And if there's an organization on Earth that has the name, the word world in its title, it is headquartered in Geneva.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, I've driven through Switzerland, and the thing, it is actually a very beautiful country, but it's also very clearly a very rich country. Like, even more than Sweden or Denmark or Germany, you can go through Switzerland and just see it. Everything is spick and span. Everything is flashy and new, and everything is expensive. I mean, you go to just, you know, bar of chocolate at a supermarket, it costs ridiculous amounts of money compared to anywhere else. It was something that I definitely noticed. And it has been for a long time. You know, there's the San Moritz, that kind of thing. And of course, the Swiss finishing schools. It's been this place that was slightly apart from everything surrounding it, the rest of Europe. it's been a sort of power unto itself in a way.
Mm-hmm. I would also posit that if you know the name of a particular person and you're angry at him for, and you want to assign blame to this person for the problems of this world, then that's probably not the person in charge, and probably the actual people in charge, I would assume you don't know their names, and they're the ones who actually call the shots on these things. Cause I mean, I don't understand how that level of power works. And I personally believe it's spiritual beyond that. Like there's something well above everything else that's controlling it. But as far as people like Klaus Schwab with he's supposed to be a, Ernst Blofeld from the James Bond. Like that's literally what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be this supervillain. And he wears the stupid outfit that everybody has seen him in with like all that's for show. It's all like, oh, look at this big, bad, evil guy. And there's a lot of reasons for that, too. Like part of the reason for that is just pure demoralization. Like look at how many of the people who are basically aligned with us and like the same thing. Like they would love Paranormies episodes, right? Like they would listen to us and go, yeah, I get all that. But at the same time, they're addicted to this being terrified of these people or being angry at these people and directing all of their ire and spiritual energy towards this enemy that's, I don't quite understand it, but it does demoralize you if you're constantly just mad and angry and frothing at the mouth and like, we have to get the pitchfork. Somebody has to do something. Of course, it's always somebody else that they expect to do something and not these people themselves. And nobody ever has any actual solutions as to what should be done rather than, getting angry on the internet at these people. But it causes a form of learned helplessness when you're constantly have these people shoved in your face who are saying these demoralizing things all the time. Fauci's going on and he's saying, this was a common tactic, a communist tactic in order to demoralize people is you put out one story, one message, one narrative, and then you put out a completely different message the next day. And so people don't know what to believe because they're used to getting their information from the screen. And in order to cope with that, they sort of just shut down and go, okay, I'm just going to repeat whatever the screen tells me on that day. And if the narrative changes on a whim like that, they'll change on a whim as well. And we've seen this happen. We've seen the way people are now. And that's just what we opened this show talking about is the way that, 5 years ago, if you discussed what's happening right now, literally no one would believe that any of this had happened. Like I would have been like, no, that's just silly. That's like,
I was still, 10 years ago, I was still a conspiracy theorist. I was still doing at one point I was doing the Bush did 9/11 thing like way back in the day. But like, if you told me that they were going to make it mandatory, to have to get this experimental vaccine, otherwise you couldn't work or go shopping or do any of that kind of stuff, I would have laughed at you, and I'm a conspiracy guy from way back. So it's amazing how fast the system has changed and like where we're at today. They say, the slippery slope, it's steep.
And apparently, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have believed it if you told me that in 2019. I would have been surprised. I'm rather skeptical that they could orchestrate such huge lies, on that scale. And then obviously the orchestration, the harmonization across different countries, all the Western countries.
Well, so, not just the West. It wasn't just the West.
Not just the West.
I mean, like the Philippines, the Asian countries. The Asian countries are still doing COVID.
I live in Japan, dude. And 100% of people here, I've not worn a mask the whole time. 100% of people here are still wearing masks every day, all the time, constantly, nonstop, including little tiny kids. It's, you talk about demoralizing. I mean, that's extremely demoralizing for me. I can't stand it, man. I hate it so much.
I hate seeing what they're doing to the kids. Like the kids in the cubes in the schools with the masks and separated and nobody sees your face anymore. And they get the temperature gun pointed to their head every day, 4 or 5 times a day. They're getting used to having a gun pointed at their head. Like, this is literally, you guys remember hearing about how Huxley and Orwell's followers would like have, they had like scholarly leagues where they would have debates about which future was going to be, whether it be Huxley's or Orwell's. Well, nobody said, hey, what about both? Like literally, nigga, it's both. Like it is literally both. It is all of the, it is the technocratic stuff from Huxley and the transhumanist stuff from Huxley, and all the jackboot on your neck and the weird dark all the dark Blade Runner stuff from Orwell. So
yeah, all the surveillance stuff from Orwell.
Oh, that's the stuff, the surveillance stuff. But with dragon dildos.
Right. Well, they found out that you could pacify the people and totally dictate and become a dictator state over them. Yeah, and that's actually the best combination for these people.
Well, and you know, one thing in Brave New World, which I haven't read, but I do know this, that they've got this thing where all of the dissidents are just pushed onto an island and allowed to exist there because they can't affect the discourse from there. I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up doing that with us. Because it is just
on island, ocean, you know. To be honest, like be mean, you skull. All the people. I would only want the people who got COVID right. So it'd be it'll be us three, Ramsey, Paul, unfortunately, Wanglin, and a few other. It'd be fun. It'd be fun. A lot of paranormies would be there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a. I mean, the scary thing about the 1984 side of it is, well, how good are they going to get at this stuff?
It's already gotten good, man. When I first heard about the facial recognition software in China and in Asia in general, I'm like, oh wait, those people wear masks anyways. Facial recognition software when you wear a mask. Okay, so it only gets from here to here. And in a country like China, where the Han Chinese were like 99.97% genetically, like it's good. That's good software. If they can pick out that, if they can pick out Han from Cho, from Yi, from Li, you know, with just the slits in their eyes, they'll be able to pick out, you know, you, me, and Skull easily. And have you walked through like Skull? Well, you guys don't, neither of you guys live here, but when you walk through a Walmart, you walk in and they have the recognition, like the facial recognition software right there in the camera as soon as you walk in, and they track you around the stores now. And it's like, it's all being done. There's a website out there. I can't remember what it is, but they use people's cell phone camera stuff to triangulate. Oh, not cell phones. I'm sorry. But like traffic and other cameras around like malls and schools and whatever, and it's all online. All this stuff is out there in the cloud. All this camera footage, every single piece of camera footage is out there in either Amazon or Google or Apple's clouds, and they're giant multiple football field size stadium sized data farms that we're building all over this country. There's a Facebook across the street from an Amazon, which is down the street from a Google, which is across the street from what's the other big one? I don't know. There's these big bio pharmaceutical companies like Amgen who produce radiation sickness poisoning medicine is their number one thing, by the way. And they're building 18 or 20 buildings across the United States, and Nancy Pelosi just invested $38 million into them. Like what the hell is going on? You know, all this stuff is data collection and again, biomechanical stuff or bio, excuse me.
Yeah, but when you said Amgen, I thought you mean InGen, and then I realized that's the thing from Jurassic Park.
Right.
So, a little bit not quite.
It's all predictive programming, and again, on all the predictive programming is merely advertising.
Right. It also conditions people to accept what they're going to see. It's like when you see, or like what I was thinking about the Batman, I believe it was the original Christian Bale Batman movie, where at the end of the movie, in order to finally beat who was the enemy at the end of the first one? Was it the Joker? It was a different one. Anyway, well, the one where
which one do you mean?
The one where he used the cell phones and Morgan Freeman was like,
oh yeah, well, it's Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Right. So he's like, once you do this, there's no going back. And then he's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. For everyone's protection, it's to keep everyone safe from the bad guy. And so then he gets all the cell phone data, and he's like, now I know what everyone's doing everywhere. And then now here we are in 2022. And it's like, yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. They were just showing you that that's what they're doing. And then it's like the news stories too. Like, if you ever watch regular sort of more local, but also national news stories where they'll talk about a new technology that they're introducing, and it's usually this surveillance technology, They'll show you the surveillance technology and they'll present this Orwellian picture of what it's going to do. And they're going to, like, for example, a recent one was the Australian. They're going to be able to read the people's private messages and social media in Australia, right? And they're just like, they always add at the end of the, start watching news stories and you'll notice this. They always add at the very end, some people are concerned about privacy. Privacy experts warn that this may have detrimental effects upon the population. And you're just like, they're using that newscaster cadence that, along with the little spinning logo that they put before. Yeah. It's every single news story, they have this little spinning logo that goes. So there's like, woo, 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 woo. You're going to be hypnotized now. We live in a surveillance state. Yes, we are saying the word that lets you know that we don't really agree with this, but there's no helping it. And then here we are today. And then everybody just goes, yes, yes, must go along with whatever the narrative is. And you have this cell phone surveillance state now. And this is just the beginning. Like, the COVID operation was to introduce all of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think he froze.
Oh, we might have lost him.
Oh. He froze there for a second. What he was saying was that this COVID stuff was just to introduce all of these things. Just like in 9/11, they introduced the Patriot Act. They had all that stuff already ready to go. The Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. They already predict the reaction, especially with the sentient world system that they have at Purdue, the D-Wave quantum computers that can basically accurately predict exactly what anybody is going to do at any given time, thanks to those multiple huge data farms where they store all this stuff. You really think that Google needs 200 acre data farms so that you can find out where the best Indian food is, or like what toilet paper has the best rating? No. That's not what it's
for. Well, this is a scary part of it, isn't it? You don't know what data are they collecting, mm-hmm. and how
everything.
Of course, you can say everything, but what does that mean? what does that actually entail? It's a scary thing that God knows. And of course, I'm sure they're developing algorithms all of the time for sifting through that data and detecting patterns, mm-hmm. and all the rest mm-hmm. of it. Wouldn't they?
And that's what they're doing. Guys like Jordy Rose from D-Wave Computers in California, he even says that's what they're doing. They develop these algorithms to do data. What do they call it? They call it data science now. That's the new field, the new hot field. That's going to be our new bubble, I think, is going to be data. It'll be the next tech bubble will be data. Because they're going to be buying and selling data just like commodities. They already are. But yeah, so I was saying these algorithms, and speaking of those algorithms, so they use these quantum computers like the sentient world system at Purdue or CERN, like the Giant Hadron Collider at CERN or whatever, or the D-Wave computers in California. And these guys say that these computers are giving them these mathematical algorithms that they use where are these algorithms coming from? Well, from the computer. Where are they coming from? Well, according to Jordy Rose, he says conspiracy theorists say that we're talking to interdimensional beings with our computers. Now, the conspiracy theorists are probably right, but that's not actually what we're doing. Like, what? Yes, that's what they're doing. They're actually, like, CERN has said that they are trying to not just find the God particle, but they're trying to speak to beings in other dimensions. These are things that scientists at CERN actually say. And if you tell normal people that, they tell you you're crazy. Until you show them the actual article. And they're like, well, that's really weird. And then, then Agent Smith shows up and changes the subject.
Yeah. I mean, this is a thing where, when it gets to quantum computing, quantum physics and whatever, as far as I know, the rule book hasn't been written yet. They don't even know what is possible, what is impossible, what is likely, what is unlikely to happen with this stuff. So if you are tinkering with that, it wouldn't surprise me if things happen that are, well, literally outside the realms of human experience. If it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen there, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And like you said, they don't have a rule book. They don't have a playbook. They don't have any kind of book.
Hey. Sorry, guys. My computer dropped out on me. It just rebooted.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It happens. So you're here now. So we were just talking about quantum computing and how that might open up things that have never happened before.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about it, and I'm happy to admit that.
I only know minimally what I've read, what I've seen from people who do those things, and from listening to people like Tony Patch, who talks about CERN a lot, and other podcasters and researchers who've done the research on it. I honestly, I couldn't tell you the first thing about quantum computing. I hear like Joe Rogan said, Deepak Chopra just likes to throw the word quantum in front of things and it makes it sound really cool. But I don't know that quantum computing is anything more than like high level witchcraft, to be honest.
Yeah, I am of two minds with it. Like, I think that a lot of the narrative that they put out about things like the D-Wave computer and how much power they have, and oh, I can reach into another dimension and pull out this information that you wouldn't be able to. And they talk about how it has to be kept at basically 0 degrees Kelvin for some reason, some unfathomable reason, which interestingly, we were also told that the vaccines also had to be kept at this extreme sub-zero temperature. I don't know if that's really related or not, but I found it weird. Hmm. But at the same time, like, I think that they put these ideas out there because in a way, when they do this, the human consciousness sort of helps them to further the technology and help to create what it is that they want to have happen. I think that's a lot of the times why we see predictive programming, is because it helps create the thing that they want in the future. But also, I find it difficult to believe that they don't have some sort of technology that does assist in the coordination of these things, because of how lockstep the entire world was in March of 2020 when they rolled out this entire COVID thing, and how they put the entire world into these masks where Western nations weren't wearing these things before. Like, in Japan, people were wearing them before, and I always hated them. But to have Western countries and people in white countries all wearing these masks, and to have these policies in which the narrative itself was obviously ridiculous, but you go and get in fights in places if you're not wearing a mask, and you're not allowed to go into certain places. Or you could go into a restaurant, you're wearing a mask when you go in the restaurant, but then once you sit down, you can take the mask off because the virus respects the rules of the table or whatever. And just the whole thing was so stupid. But how did they get this perfect coordination across all of these disparate countries? We're all told that we live in this world where everyone's so different and unique from one another, and yet everyone followed the exact same set of rules, the exact same, like, I don't see how that was possible without some sort of computer technology, some AI technology coordinating the whole thing on some level. Now, do I understand how that works? No, but I don't have any explanation from a human perspective as how they would keep all that organized without having some massive data crunching machine that was analyzing the narrative as it was unfolding and then reacting to the narrative. And they even showed these things in shows like Westworld. The third season of Westworld is, in my opinion, just a revelation of exactly how society works, like the way that the stock market works, the way that the economy works. Like, if anybody looks at the economy during what they did with COVID and shutting down all tourism in the entire world, shutting down all these businesses in the entire world, I mean, the stock market should have just gone to zero. Mm-hmm. Everything should have crashed. All economic growth should have come to an absolute halt. And yet, somehow the stock market went up during all that.
Big line went up a couple times, remember?
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense unless there's something that is analyzing what's happening as it goes and then reacting to the, so it's like, okay, we got all this data, and you can see that they're completely obsessed with data, is what we've been talking about the whole time. It's just like, everything is about this data collection and about getting the, and it's not just so social media companies.
Well, it's the only way of it's their only way of understanding life, it seems, is through mm-hmm. data. I mean, they're
they don't have lived experience.
Autistic doesn't really cover it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that they've mastered this, and you can see it even in their diagrams, the plans for the World Economic Forum stuff. It's like they've made everything, they've boiled everything down to a formula, to the most generic mm-hmm. possible form of itself. And it is a sort of impoverished way of looking at life. I mean, it's very much the technocrat looking down from a very great distance upon human ants. That seems mm-hmm. to be their view of us.
It's always been that way when it comes to, you know, the elites and the plebs, or whatever you want to call us, you know, the unwashed masses, the commoners, whatever. But yeah, they've always treated us like this. They've experimented on us for thousands of years. They've messed with our food, our water, our housing, our genetics, our lives, in every way, shape, or form, you know, since probably forever.
So, well, okay, let me ask you, what things do you, I'm gonna go through a list of things quite quickly, and I want to ask you what you two think about this stuff. So, Pizzagate.
A lot of that, what with a lot of things, they throw a lot of misinformation out there with a lot of real information, and that's exactly what it was. Pizzagate is definitely real. Children are getting abused. Like the Comet ping pong pizza thing, I don't care what anybody says. John Podesta's art collection, the Tony Podesta's art, all this stuff. The girl that disappeared, Madeleine Kahn in the Riviera. That was the Podestas. And but then they throw out all this other stuff. And at the same time, Pizzagate was going on. Was this right around the time all that weird cartoony stuff was going on YouTube with the kids too? So we had a couple of different things going. I think it was real and fake, if you know what I mean.
I agree, and that's how they do these operations: is they release all of this truth, and then they flood it with all of this ridiculous stuff at the same time, so that any normal person looking at it, and then they use the media to highlight the ridiculous stuff, and they say, "Well, look at this unfounded theory about Pizzagate. This was clearly a lie, and this is a conspiracy theory, and this is completely out there." And people who believe this are also, later they connected it to QAnon, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. And then so any normal person who wants to look into it, there's a couple of problems. Like the first problem is you're completely flooded with this information that is a subject that's so horrifying that it paralyzes you and you don't know what to do with any of that. And then the second part is there's all this ridiculous stuff that's thrown into it. Like I just one example. Whatever Epstein's island was, like there's a tennis court looking piece of property on there, and then it's hidden in Google Maps. And then so then all these people were saying, well, that's where they take the kids and they hunt them down and they shoot them with arrows. And it's like there's no proof for any of this whatsoever. It's just like people's crazy thoughts on the internet. But then they take that, the people's, like somebody wrote that and they believed it, right? And then they amplify stuff like that and mix it in with the real stuff that happened. Like Epstein did have an island. He did have a plane. There were all these people. The flight logs were real. They were doing all this creepy stuff. Yeah, it does, right? Exactly. And you mix it all up. And then at the end, so everyone's sort of paralyzed with this overload of information. And then nothing happens to the people who were responsible for the whole thing. So John Podesta's still walking around. Hillary Clinton's still walking around. Nothing happened with the emails. Nobody went to jail. That James Elefantis guy is still out there doing whatever the hell he's doing with his basement that was there where he was storing his tomato cans, but then was not there later in an interview when he said he didn't have a basement. And nothing happened. Like, what happened to Pizzagate? Well, now we have Balenciaga, and we're hearing all this other stuff about Balenciaga now. Nothing's going to happen with it either at all. And so they can continue doing whatever they're doing right out in the open in front of everyone with absolutely no consequences whatsoever, because they control the entire narrative. They control the judges. They control, I mean, look at what happened to Ghislaine, however you say her name.
Oh my God. Ghislaine Maxwell, the first person to ever be convicted of trafficking underage people to nobody.
Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that gets me to the next question. What is it with the, and it's a very serious topic, so no, I shouldn't giggle, but what is it with the elite and children?
It's the youth. I mean, it's the young flesh, young blood, young virgin, all that. Adrenochrome. I don't know that adrenochrome is real. The more that we look into that, I don't know that the adrenochrome thing harvesting is actually real. Do they kill and eat children? Oh, absolutely.
It's probably, if nothing else, a metaphor for the youthful energy that they.
Well, the adrenalized blood is actually a thing. That is a thing, and I believe that's more it when they scare for the sacrifice. You scare back when human sacrifice is actually more popular, I guess they would scare, you know, what's that? More open.
More in the open.
Yeah. Now they just do it and they call it died suddenly, but,
or abortion.
That's a whole other topic, but, shit, I forgot what I was going to say.
Adrenochrome, children.
Oh yeah. So you scare the children. So the adrenaline is pumping. The heart is going, the adrenaline, your blood is full of adrenaline. That's the blood that they want. Really. It's, you know, when somebody dies, I read we were reading when we did the a cannibalism and blood drinking episode over the Halloween. We were reading about how these cannibal clubs, for these elite cannibal clubs that actually do eat people, what they do is they find, you know, they find a person and they harvest them, and they fatten them up and they treat them nice, and they think that they're in a hospital or whatever, and then they kill them, you know, peacefully. Like there's no fear or any of that, and they just eat them. I don't think that is any sort of that is just really depraved fetish stuff. Now, then the sacrifice, I don't know that that's true either. You know, like a couple of years ago, there was that advertisement on, I don't remember where it was, but people were passing it around for a cannibal restaurant in Los Angeles. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, I don't know what any of this is true, but there's just, right. It seems to be a consistent theme.
Oh no, but they definitely do. They definitely do. I mean, people say, and you know, the two worst things that can happen to you in Washington is you get caught with a live girl or a dead girl or a live boy. You know, I mean, and it's true. What about, was it Bush had like some naked kid jump out of the second floor of the White House, run down the street? Like, you know what I mean? How many times do we hear stories about George Bush Sr. bringing teenage male prostitutes into the White House? You know, I mean, the twinks. I mean, you have what's his name? Scott Wiener from California, who's like Wiener, of course, because
Wiener. His name's Wiener.
But yeah, the gay Jew from San Francisco that has legalized donating HIV positive blood, legalized basically. What is it? If you're 26, you can have sex with a 16-year-old or something like that. I forgot what it is. He changed the statutory rape, but it's for his, you know, for his gay friends to have sex with twinks, and legally. And then he changed. He had the law changed to where it's no longer illegal to knowingly give somebody AIDS, you know, California, man. But that's your politician.
If I had to like say, if someone held a gun to my head and said, why do they always target children? My personal belief is that there is a spiritual energy that they get and a spiritual power that they get. And the more heinous the thing that they do, the more innocent the victim that they target, the more dark spiritual energy that they get. Now, you can say that that's a real thing and it's true and they really do get all this power, or you can say that they just believe that and they are these people who they engage in these black magic rituals, and these satanic ritual abuse is a real thing. All these children getting not only murdered, but also raped, then murdered. All that is part of actual satanic ritual ceremonies that people do engage in. There are actual crimes that are committed. There's solid evidence for these crimes. And things like Pizzagate show that like this is covered up, or they found a way in order to flood the system with information so that they can just do the crime right out in the open. But whether or not you believe in these greater higher powers and these dark spiritual entities and the magic and the power that they gain from them, these people do believe it. And that's one of the reasons that they're targeted in this manner. And children are the most innocent. You know, if you're going after somebody who's some piece of shit, who, you know, who is a terrible person his entire life, it's not the same as targeting someone. Like, it's not the same to show your allegiance to your dark lord if you're, you know, going after someone who in one way or another deserved it, as it would be if you're going after a 6-year-old girl who's never done anything to anyone in her life, you know, and whose parents are going to be devastated by it, and it's going to have ripples all throughout society. And again, demoralization too. When someone does such a heinous act, the people around it who are witness to it are often paralyzed and don't know what to do. And unfortunately, we've gotten to a point in society now where people don't take justice. They don't take matters into their own hands. They rely upon the same system that's perpetrating the acts to protect them from the acts. And it's a very bad feedback loop that we've entered.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't take issue with any of that. Right. Let's move on to another one then. Spirit cooking.
Ah.
Go for it.
Marina Abramovic in Spirit Cooking, a self-avowed satanic witch who has done spirit cooking events with people like Anthony Bourdain, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, actually, there's a video where she talks about how she was what do you call it, inducted, I guess, into her coven by, she was sent out, she put out in the woods naked and had to find her way back. And there was all this kind of ritual stuff just to become a part of what Marina does with the spirit cooking. And then now the spirit cooking is, if people don't know, it is an event where people basically pretend to be cannibals. You know, they bring out all kinds of food products that are shaped like humans or that are supposedly human body parts. I've seen pictures with Will Ferrell. I've seen pictures with, I mean, you name it. Basically the same people that went to Epstein's Island. The same people that go, it's all the Hollywood elites. It's all the Hollywood elites. And personally, I think Bourdain even did a nude photo shoot with a bunch of bones, like bones with meat, big cow, like bones.
Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one who he killed himself. Yeah. Like,
there's a clip of him saying that we've all got to mix. And it's the only way that we'll get rid of racism. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Okay, and yeah, he really, you know, because I don't know about the other guy, but he was talking to in that clip, but, you know, it's just such stereotypical behavior there. You know, it's like he's trying to play up to the stereotype almost. Skull, do you want to say anything about spirit cooking?
Oh, spirit cooking, just the same thing as Johnny's. Spirit cooking was linked to Pizzagate, and it was all part of the same thing. And I kind of think that it was probably released on purpose as part of the confusion in all of that, because it is something that's gross and weird, but it's not anything that anyone could be actually convicted for on its surface.
Right.
And it's more like a parody of the actual rituals that probably do happen that we don't get to see. And so for them, that's safe. They're going to go, oh, they don't really care how weird we think they are. Like they, in fact, that benefits them, because they just become more famous and more powerful. Mm-hmm. And the people who are into that sort of thing, they're going to pop their heads up and go, oh, I would like to do that as well, please. And so then they're like, oh, yeah, you can come into our group. And then the other people who are horrified by it, well, nothing's really going to happen to them. Anyway, there's a really, really disturbing video. Maybe you've seen it, was of these two children from a daycare.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The and British daycare kids.
What is it?
They're British, right?
They're British. It's a boy and a girl. And they talk about how basically like they lived in this daycare where they're raping and eating babies daily. And they're having sex with the masters of this daycare. And they're talking to the police, and it's a police interview. And if it's fake, I don't see how they found actors this perfect, this adept at this subject matter, because it's an 11-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy talking in graphic detail, detail.
And like completely lucid and serious, and like it was nothing. Like they were telling you about, like, yeah, if your little brother came home and told you about his day at school, like it was just...
Then we'd eat the babies, then we'd have sex, then we'd rape the babies, and
we would eat them. Yeah, and then
we'd drink the blood of the babies, and it's just a little kid talking about this stuff to police. And the police didn't seem at the time to be in on it, although who knows? You know, you don't know what you're watching when you see these things, and the fact that it was released to the public, like how. But again, I don't think anything happened to anybody in that. Like, I don't believe anyone was actually arrested. And I believe that the way that it was set up was allegedly like everybody in the town was in on this thing. And these kids were, I don't know, they were either brainwashed to the degree that they were completely I don't know what, because it's so disturbing to watch. You really don't know how to get into the mindset of it.
When we did the whole satanic ritual abuse episodes, we talked about how these kids are abused from before they're born. Sometimes like they abuse them chemically before they're even born. Then when they're born, they're raped and tortured and taught to be like this from the instant they join us on earth. And by the time they're 11 years old, all this stuff is just normal everyday behavior to them. You know, I mean, they're programmed to be like that. And it's disgusting. But like, the first time I saw it, it was mind blowing. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And I don't believe there was a news story that went along with it. I just remember the video, and I don't remember ever hearing anything else about it. So I'm pretty sure nothing happened.
Yeah.
All right. So another one would be Epstein. I mean, presumably we can all agree that Epstein didn't kill himself.
No. When they turned that into a meme, though, like, you know, the coffee, the beer that had it on the bottom of the can, and like, you know, you can get it on your coffee cup and all that. And it's like, that's when I was like, yeah, this is too much. They're really rubbing it in our face, this right here. It's
like, well, I mean, there were online grifters who were selling. I mean, what was his name? Oh, God, I can't remember. The guy who was on the Tim Pool thing. He's selling his T-shirt with that on it. You know, people will do that. I mean, it's.
Well, Sam Hyde made a shirt. Yeah. Sam Hyde.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be too disparaging about it, I guess. But that guy, yeah, when I'm thinking about Tim Pool, you know, it's difficult to remain positive about
it. We call him Tim Poop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I can't stand the guy. The last thing he did with the Kanye thing, and I never thought I would agree. I watch his show very rarely. I never thought I'd agree with Ian so hard. It was when Ian told him off after the Ye thing. It was pretty funny. He's like the midwit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he is. Let's talk about Epstein. I mean, I'm pretty sure that what was going on there was that Epstein was put in place as the guy, the organizer, the showrunner of a Mossad blackmailing operation where they got as many famous, powerful politicians inveigled into this as they possibly could, so that those politicians would then be in there under their control. Would you say that's an apt summary?
That's a pretty decent summary. I mean, it's not just it, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to the Epstein family besides just the trafficking. They're involved in all kinds of other stuff, transhumanism, all kinds of medical. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But yeah, he's definitely. I mean, the guy, you know, he went from being a school teacher to a billionaire.
Yeah,
yeah. Great story. I love the backstories of all these people. Who was the one who was like, you know, he came here as a destitute immigrant. He bought a canoe. Skip ahead. He has the biggest water taxi company on the earth. Like, what? Where are those? This guy is, he's got like 10 ferry ships and blah, blah, blah. Where did all this money come from? Yeah, these people just, they come here paupers and they just, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps and become
Jewish people really know how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Well, it's a land of opportunity and adventure, yeah. Isn't it? So, yeah. Living the American dream, surely.
Yes.
So, I mean, do you believe that Epstein is dead or
no? Absolutely not.
No, he's not dead. He's probably sunning himself on a beach in Tel Aviv somewhere,
or on his island, or you know, somewhere that like you guys saw the pictures after he killed himself, where he's on his island with the black dude. Is that like you can definitely see that there's a guy who looks just like Jeffrey Epstein chilling on a four wheeler on his island.
Hanging out. Yeah.
So who, I mean, honestly, who knows? The island is real. I mean, and of course, it's right across the bay, I guess, from the Disney cruise ship stop, which I always found kind of odd. Literally swimming distance from.
I also think that the idea of there being an island where all of this illicit stuff happens, where the elite get to go and play and engage in activities that we're not allowed to, is probably a bit of a truth drop, and it's revelation of the method in that there are areas of the world that are unmapped that they do keep for themselves and that we're not allowed to travel to. And that this is probably where some of these people go when they do an Epstein. It's like, okay, well, Epstein didn't kill himself is also a form of truth drop that they put out there and shoved in our face. Mm-hmm. And it was like, look at you. You don't get to do anything about this. You know that he's not dead. You know that the body that they showed on the slab that had completely different ears and a nose and didn't even look like the same guy was not Epstein. He didn't jump off the second bunk of his prison cell and hang himself with a roll of toilet paper. It's such a stupid story that literally everyone knows it, but no one can do anything about it. And then they talk about his island and it's like, well, yeah, he's on the island. He's not on the
What are you going to do? Take your jet ski out there? You know?
Yeah. You'll be stopped. They have security.
It's like not going to Antarctica. Like going to Antarctica.
Yeah, you're not allowed to go below the 30th parallel or the 33rd parallel, whatever.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, I think he is dead. I think they killed him just because it was convenient for them to get rid of him. But whatever, it doesn't matter. I certainly don't know for sure.
That is a point of that story that's kind of irrelevant because
what's important
is the rest of the story, like what happened before and after. Yeah.
Exactly.
What didn't happen to anyone?
Happen, yeah. Nothing. Nothing happened. Yeah. Nothing ever happens.
Okay, so here's another one then. Kubrick and Eyes Wide Shut.
What do you want to know? Yes, he made the movie.
Of course. But is that why he died? He made that movie?
Possibly. I mean, we won't. It's another one of those things we won't know. It was released after his death, right? Or was it released before? Yeah, it was released after his death, and I'm sure they changed part of it. But there is a lot of that movie that's like all of Stanley Kubrick's movies have a lot of truth drops in them, and that movie was just like one after the other after the other after the other. I've seen all the breakdowns of that movie. It's pretty crazy.
I can't stand that movie.
It's going on?
God, I hate it. I like Stanley Kubrick's movies, and I've tried so many times to watch it, and Tom Cruise and particularly Nicole Kidman's acting in that movie. I
find her incredibly attractive in that film. I've got to admit, but I know that's not really relevant. But I've seen it a few times. I did see it at the cinema when it came out. I went to the cinema a lot more in those days. Mm-hmm. But I guess
when movies were actually good.
Yeah. See, it's like that's three films we've mentioned that I did actually see at the cinema. Nowadays, if you were to talk about films from the 2010s, or like hardly any. I've seen Doctor
Why would you Sleep. Want to go to the theater? I want to be able to hear the movie.
Well, that as well. But I've seen Tenet and Doctor Sleep, and I think that's it for the last 10 years.
Doctor Sleep
and Tenet was shit. Tenet was absolutely awful. I wish I hadn't gone.
Doctor Sleep was really interesting. It was a sequel to The Shining, which was I thought it was pretty well done. It wasn't perfect or anything like that, but it was very interesting. Sequel? Yeah, it's the sequel to The Shining. It's the little kid grown up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I will have to check it out, I guess. The only thing I've seen recently, it was King Kong versus Godzilla. That was the last movie I went to the theater to see. It was great. I went with my son and I brought my notepad and I'm taking notes. He's like, "Dad, what are you doing?" I'm taking notes. He's like, "For what? For your show? Are you taking notes for your show?"
It was filled with conspiracy. Yeah, it was filled with conspiracy candy.
Absolutely, that was that was Halloween for conspiracy theorists.
Yep.
But it's funny that Dr. Sleep came up there because I didn't intend that. But it also is oddly, it's reminiscent of what we were just talking about—the Pizzagate stuff and all that, where it's a bunch of vampires literally tracking down and feeding on kids. It never occurred to me until right now that that's actually, quite off our age. Anyway, very strange. But it wasn't, I should say, it was actually written by Stephen King. It's based on his sequel novel to his original novel. And there's a lot that could be said. And I have talked quite a bit about Doctor Sleep. It's not a terrible film, but it's trying to be about four or five different films at once.
There's a lot going on.
And that's the trouble. It ends up not doing anything terribly
That never makes for a good movie.
No. I did like watching The Overlook again. It is worth watching. And I did like seeing The Overlook Hotel recreated. The film itself isn't very good. So here are more sort of lightweight choices. The Loch Ness Monster.
No.
Highly unlikely.
At this point,
that breaks my heart.
I know. I would love for it to be real. I think there's more to Aleister Crowley's mansion than there is to the Loch Ness Monster there at Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did know about Aleister Crowley at one point, but I've forgotten it all now. I know that he had a cottage. Was it in the Highlands? I think it was in the Scottish Highlands.
He did, He had one right there on the lock, and Jimmy Page ended up buying it.
Right, yes. And there were various people have stayed in it over the years. I remember seeing a documentary ages and ages ago about it. But he's connected to all sorts of people. It's weird, Crowley. He seems to have had a very incredibly packed life.
Extremely influential.
Yeah. So what about UFOs?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Scott.
My personal belief is that UFOs and aliens are a phenomenon that does actually occur, and they are real in the sense that it's something that does materialize. People do get abducted. There are aliens. People, I mean, there's a lot of fake videos out there, but some of the videos that you see are real. But I don't believe that they come from whatever outer space is supposed to be. I believe that it's interdimensional entities of some sort that move in and out of these dimensions, whatever they are. And I personally don't think that they're good. I think that they're really bad. And I think that anybody who, if you have an encounter with one of them, I would do my best to avoid them. I've never personally seen one, but I don't disbelieve that they exist. And they seem like there are different categories of them. There have been people who are able to call UFOs forth, and they've done it on video where they just say, oh, you know, UFO, show up right now, and boom, sure enough, on camera, there will be UFOs that show up. And that, again, leads me to believe that there's some sort of interdimensional entity that probably is using humans for some sort of bad purpose that I don't think would be good. Now, I don't know what the whole thing with the butt probes and all that stuff is supposed to be, but it's a common theme in the stories that of people who are abducted, yeah, that they're sexually true. Abused all across the board.
Yeah, sorry.
I agree with Skull there. I am also of the belief that the grays that people see are quite possibly a biological automaton, where that is being controlled by some sort of interdimensional, say, ethereal type being that's not corporal. So they use these corporal things like the grays to do their bidding, for do their work for them, like to do the abducting. And because, you know, again, and again, bringing it back to Crowley, you have his buddy Awas, who he summoned this demon who is, you know, coincidentally enough, it looks exactly like a gray. The big head, the almond eyes, the skinny body, all that exact same thing. And Crowley communed with this thing quite a bit, and it actually helped him. What he gave him the Book of the Law. And that's what these aliens, and I agree with Skull too, that these entities are no good. Whatever the entities are, they're no good.
See, I think there's a certain theory, because I remember reading Terence McKenna talking about this stuff a long time ago. I can't really remember much of what he said, but it was connected, if I recall correctly, to the atomic age, to the atom bomb, Hiroshima, America in the 50s. That seems to be, there was a huge explosion of UFO sightings in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me, oddly, of that this new season of Twin Peaks, which I haven't seen, but I know that it's connecting, it connects the spirits, like Bob and the little man and all that, to the same thing, to the nuclear testing. And apparently that's, the idea is, if I've gleaned this correctly, the idea is that these spirits were able to migrate from one dimension into this one because of the sheer force of the atomic explosions. And that seems to be it. It's like forming a sort of gateway. And oddly enough, that would seem to match up with that theory about UFOs, that after all of that in the 40s and 50s, this was possible. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm just it's just an idea.
Sure. Another thing, you always see, like, Tucker Carlson will have videos on there a lot, like the Tic Tacs and the UFO disclosure. He's always talking about disclosure. Now, the stuff that Tucker has on there, is, I believe, your black budget DARPA money military projects a lot of times. There's a lot of that. Like your Phoenix lights, your those kind of things, those are all military projects.
All right, all right. Yeah, see, that's the whole other thing about the American military in area. Is it 51? It's a huge rabbit hole to go down.
I don't think there's aliens down there. I am Area 51. We're going to talk about it on our show, but the Raelian thing that Ye brought up, I believe that was a hint in his ask about Area 51. I am of the belief that Area 51 is the cloning facility, or at least the entrance to that. Maybe. I don't think there's aliens down there at all, though.
Okay. Well, let's go to a rather more pedestrian conspiracy theory, which is JFK. What do you think happened there?
I don't believe JFK or his brother were killed. I think they were both fake incidents. They were the what is it called? The kill the king. What is,
Sean? The king ritual. Yes.
Sorry. And the kill the king ritual. And yeah, it's exactly what it was. And they did it on television. Again, they do it on television, get the most eyes on it. And yeah, all they had to do is just go to Martha's Vineyard. We're going to go to Martha's Vineyard to check to see if they're there.
What a lot of people don't even realize is that Kennedy was not killed live on television. It was the Zapruder film didn't come, was not even released until many, many years later. I can't remember how many years. It was either 8 or 11 years later or something like that. So no one even saw any of that until they've had years to get everything ready, to get the stories together, to get all the ends tied up, to produce the movie. And yeah, I'm with Johnny. I personally believe that it was a movie that people watched. And so when people point to it as evidence and they're like, oh, the driver turned around and shot him and this, that, and the other, it's like,
that's well, new one, right?
Yeah.
Well, came out the other day.
Well, they can't even do that one anymore because the car's been Mandela affected. And now it has two windshields and there's six people in the car now where there used to be only, there's six people in the car now. So the Kennedy and Jackie are in the back and then there's two people in front of them. And then there's the driver and the other guy. So that actually that theory used to be a theory a while back. It was like, yeah, the driver turned around and shot him. It was like, well, how did you do that? There's another windshield behind him like now. So the whole thing is, it was a big ritual. It's called the Killing of the King ritual. And if you start looking into Dealey Plaza, there's all this Masonic stuff there, these buildings and symbols and the way that they drove down that area, all this stuff. The whole thing was, it was put out there on purpose. I don't know what the purpose is. And it's interesting as far as conspiracy theories go, because there are so many conspiracy theories that have so much evidence that point to a certain group, and all of them have evidence that's real. Mm-hmm. And it's very strange. So like if you want to point to the Jews and JFK was going to get rid of the Fed and they didn't like that they were moving, he was moving in on their money system and stuff. So they took him out. It was the mafia. And so Jack Ruby, who's also a Jew, Jack Rubenstein, everybody keeps saying Jack Ruby recently and nobody points out that his name is actually Rubenstein, but I digress. So it was the Jews. And then later it was the Cubans and it was the Russians and it was all these different groups. And if you follow the thread through any of these, you'll find a mountain of evidence that supports the claim. And then when Trump did the document release, right?
Oh boy.
And everybody thought, oh, now we're going to really figure out what happened. And it's like, no, it just became more confusing. So it never leads anywhere. And you're never going to get the answer. That's the thing. It's kind of like with Epstein. Where's Epstein? What happened? What was this? You're never going to get the answer. You're never going to find it. And you can keep on searching and stuff. But at some point, you have to step back and go, oh, okay, they're doing a thing.
You have to. Otherwise, you can, again, with a lot of these things, you can go to any bookstore and find hundreds of books about myriad JFK theories, who did it, how they did it. And like Skull said, every single one of those groups, A, had a motive, B, had the means, and C, there's proof that they probably did it, even though nothing happened. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, it's strange. And again, that, to me, plays into the simulation theory a little more, too.
All right. Okay, what about Atlantis?
Ooh. I don't know if Atlantis was ever real, is still real, if it's out in extra territory outside of the territories or a territory we're not allowed to go to, or if it was just something that was made up by Plato, who might have been made up. So, you know, there's a whole lot of layers to fake and gay, dude.
Right.
But It like I said, it's possible that it existed. It's also possible that it never did. I honestly don't know. I like reading about it. I've read Donnelly's book a couple times. It's great.
All right. Old Skull, do you have anything to say about Atlantis?
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion as Johnny on Atlantis.
We oftentimes get confused for being the same person because we do think very much alike when it comes to that. We've been friends. We've actually been friends a lot longer than we even knew. Like, we were friends on Facebook on our normies a couple of years before we even got into any of this stuff. Yeah. And then later on, we went on Twitter and like, hey, Alt Skull, I'm Johnny Mox. I said, oh, cool. Yeah, hey, wait, did you ever, wait, you're this guy, you're that, oh my God. Yeah. And now whenever we talk about stuff, we have to be careful. We don't post the same thing over on top of each other because we do think so much alike.
It happens all the time.
Okay. So someone's asking me to ask you about the Antarctic Nazis.
Ah, the Antarctic Nazis, New Schwabenland. New Schwabenland was actually definitely a thing. The Nazis did make trips down there, including former Nazi Wernher von Braun, who became the head of NASA. He took a trip down to Antarctica right before he decided that whatever they were going to do, that he was going to do for the moon missions, wasn't good enough, and they were going to go with whatever design they went with. Anyway, so yeah, there's a base down there. There is a church. The Russian Orthodox Church has a church down there. We have a base down there.
Pyramids.
Pyramids? Oh yeah, the pyramids.
Somebody else asked me about. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. What about the Rothschild Ice Pyramid Fortress in Greenland? That sounds a bit improbable to me.
In Greenland?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of one in Greenland. I know there's a Rothschild Island in Antarctica.
Literally named so.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of islands down there that are interesting. Well, makes Antarctica, the whole theory behind Antarctica is that, you know, all of a sudden, magically, to protect the penguins, we decided to make a treaty with every country on Earth so nobody would go down there to do anything bad to those poor penguins. And the only way you can get there is through the Falklands. And didn't we have a war over the Falklands a while back?
And again, it happened in 1953, the Antarctic Treaty, in the middle of what we're told is the Cold War, when we were at odds with another superpower, nuclear superpower, allegedly. And we all came together as one for this island of penguins to protect it ecologically. And everybody put their flags up there. And it was like, you get this piece and I get this piece and that's his piece over there. And we're all friends. And don't worry about the Cuban Missile thing that's about to happen in a few years. That's not a big deal. We're going to put that aside for a second just so that – and then if you try to go down to Antarctica – Antarctica is this amazing place. Like, no one knows what it is. If you try to go there, first, you need permission. Second, you need to apply for the permission. The application for the permission costs $250,000 and it can be rejected at any time, and when it's rejected, you lose the $250,000. If you try to go down on your own, and there's lots of video of this, you'll be stopped by either jet fighters or gunships if you try to go below a certain parallel, and no one's allowed there. Now, people will counter this, and they'll say, well, you could take a tour of Antarctica. You could go down there, and you can see the South Pole. It's a little pole. It's got like red stripes. It's got a ball on the top of it. Well, yeah, those are the little secluded areas that they let people in so that they can say, oh, yeah, we let you see Antarctica. Here it is. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, independently, you're not allowed to go there. And if you try, you'll be stopped. And even if you are allowed to go there, let's say they allow you to get the permission and you spend the $250,000, you're not allowed to use a diesel or petroleum used vehicle there. You have to use a dog sled team to get anywhere that you want to go, but your dogs are not allowed to poop anywhere on the island. So you have to keep all of the feces and all of the trash that you have. You can't throw it away anywhere. You have to keep all of it with you. You have to bring all of your supplies. You can't use anything that uses any sort of fuel because of the environment that they care so much about. So there's just roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, which basically there's no proof of anything. So, you know, there's lots of theories as to what this thing could be. A lot of people say that it's the ice wall. Other people say that it's New Schwabia. Other people say that it's the entrance to Hollow Earth. But the one thing we know for sure is they're hiding something there. They don't want us to see it. And you're not allowed to figure out what it is.
Maybe it's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah. And the thing, absolutely. One of the greatest horror movies ever. Saw that in the theater when I was a kid.
There are theories that there are creatures like that there, actually. If you go on 4chan, there's some really interesting stories. They may just be stories that people made up, but there's a guy who went on 4chan, and he was showing pictures of his uncle's like plaque that proved that he had been in the Antarctic mission and that he was down there. And then he was saying that his uncle was telling him stories about like these creatures that look like the baby aliens from Alien. Like, except huge, and they couldn't, and they were just like the baby aliens and the alien from Alien, in that people would try to shoot them with machinery that would kill a human or any other meat created being, and these things would have like these armored shells and they would kill people and stuff. Who knows if any of that's true, but it's interesting.
We have no idea. Again,
we're not allowed to find out.
No, we're not, because, and we have seen the videos of people who've taken their own video of them going down there in boats, ships, whatever, and here come the gunships. They come right in, you know, you're trespassing in secure waters, turn around now or we will open fire. 10, 9.
They seem very serious too.
Oh, yeah. They're dead serious. Yeah. I mean, you can't go there. I don't, yeah, and I don't care. Like Skull said, the little trip you can take down there for how many of $100,000 to go see the penguins, that's not Antarctica. And we've seen videos from the 40s and the 50s of up till now or recently of videos of ships driving past miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of ice wall. So, I mean, it could very well be the ice wall around the edge of the flat earth or whatever. I don't know. We don't know. I'm not saying that, but I did say that. Maybe
we don't know. Yeah,
we don't know.
Well, I was just going to get to flat earth and what you both think about that, but because you keep saying down there meaning Antarctica, I'm guessing you don't believe in the flat earth thing.
Well, no, we say down there because that's where colloquially it is known as the South Pole. Down there, around there, would you prefer it around? But no, it's around the South Pole. No, I don't believe that the Earth is flat. Topography exists, but no, the both the flat Earth and the globe Earth thing are psyops meant to keep people in a red team blue team style dichotomy. There's much more to it than if we live in a realm, say a simulation or simulacrum or whatever, and it is some sort of AI generated reality, then it can be neither, it can be both, it could be anything. I mean, but it is definitely, from what we can observe, what science tells us in the science TM, the 8 inches per mile squared curvature of the Earth, that doesn't exist. Gravity, like all their theories that they can't prove, none of the science stuff that proves a globe actually proves a globe. So I can tell you that it's definitely not that.
Yeah, there's the fighting between globe and flat is on purpose, and the system loves it. Hmm. And I'm guilty of engaging in it. I will admit, I like engaging in it. It's fun sometimes, but it's there for a purpose. Now, I don't believe that we're on a pizza pie flying in space. I don't claim to have any sort of model whatsoever. I don't claim to know what this world is, this realm that we live in is. But as far as the mainstream science story of the place that we live in, the universe that we live in, there's all sorts of problems with it. Lots and lots and lots of problems with it. And if you're an honest person, you could look at these problems and go, yeah, yeah, I can see where people might have questions with that sort of thing. Like where someone takes their camera and watches something go over the edge, go over the little line that's the horizon and disappear, and then go like that. And you zoom in and the thing, the resolution resolves and you can see the thing again. There's oil derricks at 6 and 9 miles and a horizon behind them when a 6 foot tall person should only be able to see 3 miles. There's the question of how gas, which doesn't go down, it expands to fill the volume of its container, can exist right next to what we're told is a sky vacuum that violates the second law of thermodynamics and gas law. There's Coriolis effect that we're told that Earth has, that we're turning under things when flight times are never reduced when you go from east to west. So there are lots of big questions. And so like, if you're an honest person, like that's the thing that we do on our channel and our show is we say, here's a big narrative. Let's look at this narrative and see if it holds up. And basically in every single case, the narrative doesn't hold up. And like Johnny said, there's so much evidence too. If you look at the globe side, there's too much evidence that people can show you of the, for example, the mathematics of it is amazing. It's stunning, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you were going to create a system based upon something that completely didn't exist, but you have all the mathematics fit basically perfectly, there's something else going on there. There's some non-human intelligence that's above that is creating this system that we're looking at, this screen that we're viewing, that's giving people the evidence that they need to believe whatever it is that they want. And so it's interesting to search out, but I don't think you're ever going to, again, it's like all these things. It's like the Kennedy assassination. It's like Epstein Island. It's like the, well, the Holocaust. I don't
know. Oh, man.
but you're never going to really get to the end of where, like, where does the thread lead? I'm pulling the thread and then the sweater just keeps going. And you're like, this is an infinite sweater. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's the you just pulled out in the world's biggest ball of yarn is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with every single one of these conspiracies, whether it's the moon landing, whether it's, you know, flat earth, whether it's COVID, all this stuff. Well, actually, COVID is not really a conspiracy theory. 9/11, the school shooting that we shall not be named, you know, and not just because we're afraid of getting sued.
But, maybe we should be.
Alex Jones is not. Do you think Alex Jones is really going to pay $1 billion? That's absolutely bullshit. That whole thing, that whole thing was so much theater. There were so many moments, just like in the Rittenhouse trial. There was so many moments in the Alex Jones trial where, like, the prosecutor's like, "You call this judge a tyrant? Isn't that like, you know, what you call people when he's like, well, when they're being a tyrant?" You know, and then he gets the red eyes, boom, ba da ba da, you know the thing, right? Like or Thug Life. All of a sudden, he's smoking a J, and here comes the sunglasses. Like, is every single thing? It's part of the show. Alex Jones is one of the biggest actors on earth, and like he's so. I mean, he's even said his first divorce hearing, his first divorce proceedings. I'm an actor. I'm playing a character.
Yeah.
Here you go. Everything he says after that, you can't believe a single word. But that's what he does. He gets out there and he pushes this stuff on the screen. And, you know, I forgot where I was going with that. Holy cow.
Well, but, he does seem to. Yeah. Yeah. He does seem to be enamored of drama. Let's see. Oh, he does seem to enjoy generating it. And well, it's a weird thing.
And he, again, you know, he goes on. He'll go on Joe. He went on Joe Rogan and smoked weed and got drunk and like argues with Eddie Bravo about NASA and flat earth. But he's a big, there's the thing about Alex Jones. He's a big, you know, conspiratard, right? He's a conspiracy guy. He's getting sued for saying Sandy Hook didn't happen and all this stuff. So, you know, oh my God, there's this big, the biggest conspiracy theorist on earth is getting punished for saying things that aren't true. So we better not say things like that because we don't want our tiny little bank accounts to get smacked around, you know?
Yeah, he's not
paying $1 billion.
So they even used the guy who exposed, for example, the thing that he went to the court for. He exposed that thing initially and said, this is all fake. And then later, they use him to solidify the narrative that he lied. And if you lie about this thing, you're going to have to pay $1 billion. We'll absolutely destroy your life. And so then that has this chilling effect in which they can use the conspiracy theorists, so-called, to actually solidify the mainstream narrative by making people afraid to talk about anything outside of those parameters.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, there's a thing here that someone's just said, Alex Jones gets sued for Sandy Hook, yet he is scared of other matters. The lawsuit is clearly fake. So yeah, I think you're probably, you might well be right there. At any rate, I don't believe he's going to pay $1 billion.
Oh, no.
It's just,
if anything, his studio, like, if there is any sort of lawsuit, once they come to actual terms, like InfoWars will probably pay whatever it is, if yeah. there's anything at all.
Yeah, someone just said he's still online wearing his Rolexes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
There's no,
he doesn't look like, I mean, he doesn't look like he's scared. He doesn't look like a guy who's just been completely ruined. I mean, it's really not. Okay, here's another sort of jokey question. Why does it take 3 tries to plug a USB stick into a USB port? Is that a glitch in the Matrix?
It is Schrodinger's USB stick. every single time I go in my, I get in my truck, I have my phone jack thing. I go to plug it into my USB thing. And no matter how many times I'm holding it the right way, every single time I'm looking at it, holding it the right way, it goes in wrong. Doesn't matter.
You want to know one of my craziest conspiracy theories?
What's that?
I think that technology is actually demonic in that it is intended to create frustration in our lives. And every new thing that's supposed to make things more convenient actually makes things far more difficult, far more frustrating, and far more complicated than it ever was in the past. And when I think about using my computer in the 1990s, when I was on the internet, it was like, oh yeah, you plug this in, you turn it on, and you type. And now, it's just like you said, with the just tonight, I tried to get onto StreamYard. I jump on Safari. No, you need a different browser. You need Firefox. I jump on Firefox. This doesn't recognize your microphone or your camera. You need to download Google Chrome. Download Google Chrome. And finally, I can jump on the thing. Where, as you would think that they would have these sorts of things worked out at this point, or that I would be able to talk to my parents using Skype 20 years after Skype came out without having some sort of lag or some sort
terrible.
Of issue.
Skype is a nightmare. Oh, Skype is an absolute nightmare.
So we talk about this all the time at work. Well, or you go anywhere, like, you know, you go to use the cash rate. Oh, hang on a second, it's being slow. Or hang on a second, my computer. You get on the phone with whatever company you're calling, and they're just a second, my computer's being slow. Really? What do you got, a 486?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't everybody have like a triple Pentium with like gigahertz whatever the fuck it is, internet, and everything is all no. I hate technology. But I have so much of it because we can't get along without it. We can't do anything without technology anymore. But like I've said, it is meant to be very frustrating. I believe I'm right there with you, Skull. Every time there's an update, it pisses me off. Anytime, like the more technologically cool or advanced something is, the worse the glitches are. Like, it's never an improvement. And again, a lot of these things in technology are literally like we call shit that nobody asked for.
Right.
Like, who's did 5G? Who wanted 5? Who wanted 4 LTE? 3G was fine. Was your porn not downloading fast enough? Like, really?
And we can download all that shit that fast, but when we try to talk, we have a lag in our live stream. It's like, come on.
Skype. Really? Oh, yeah. Dude, the Skype thing. You think Bill Gates, richest guy, well, was, you know, now Elon's the richest guy on earth, whatever. But one of the richest college dropouts ever. That's another thing.
If that's another
anybody thing. Out there without a college degree, you should be pissed off right now because the five richest people on earth failed out of college. Anyway, blame your college salesman known as your high school teacher. But getting back to the other thing, like none of these people. Oh, shit. I made myself forget. I did it again.
Well, you were saying about technology being crap and Skype.
It makes everything worse. It makes everything slower. I mean, as fast as it is, it doesn't make. And nobody asks for these advances. Nobody asked to get radiated even harder. Nobody, you know, nobody asked to have any of this. You know, your television, again, there's a technological advancement that's only gotten cheaper since its invention. Everything else on Earth has gotten exponentially more expensive, except for the television, which has gotten exponentially better as far as quality of your picture, but it has gotten exponentially cheaper. Interesting.
Well, they want people sitting in front of it, and they can't afford to have any glitches or, you know, they need all the people to understand exactly how to use that thing and be plopped in front of it all the time.
Get refreshed in 4K at 60 hertz.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter that what you're watching is complete crap.
Oh, no. Because as long as it's beautifully created hertz. CGI.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Here's, well, I mean, on technology, I would just moan about Skype indefinitely. So we'll just change the subject.
We can bitch about Skype all night. Yeah.
I was so glad when I discovered Telegram. I just couldn't believe how much better it was. And, yeah. But anyway, one more thing I'll ask you about. What about the most celebrities are trannies conspiracy?
Ah, that is one of our. Okay. So for the record, nobody has ever said everybody's trans. Okay, that's the one straw man we get all the time. What we have said, if there's an A-list celebrity and they're on the screen, they are put there in front of you, likely they are misrepresenting what they are really. There are many, 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 many trans actresses and actors out there. I don't know if they all are, but if you look at a woman, really, really look at a woman, and after six or seven male markers, you have to be like, wow, that's a lot of guy. That's a lot of guy traits right there. Chances are she's probably not. That's probably not a woman. I know.
I just love this.
I had a hard time with it at first. The first time I heard it, I think it was my buddy sent me the Taylor Swift video. You got to check out this guy, Mr. E, watch his videos. I was like, all right, fine. I'll check it out. I don't want to see this. And it turns out this guy is actually pretty cool. We've had him on our show twice. These demonic, I mean, again, thinking back, okay, entertainers and actors throughout history, females have never been allowed in the theater on stage ever. What makes you think they just started doing it now?
Well, there's an easy one you can start with too. What do you think about Michelle Obama?
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
I hope it's true.
That's kind of a gimme one though. That's the one that we're allowed to be like, cause Republicans will be like, yeah, that's Michael, Big Mike. Packing the heat down there. But
that's the wife. That's the alleged wife of a president of the United States that was presenting as an alleged woman. And pretty much anybody who looks at it, it's like, go on. That's a very large. It's a very large female. And black ladies have more testosterone. But
sure.
I mean, there's the Ellen DeGeneres show where like,
the
Mike is dancing and the package is just going like this. Over and over. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I don't know how you can look at that and be like, oh, that's a Photoshop. No, it's not. And neither of the kids look like them. The two kids look like their friends that the couple that they traveled with a lot.
It isn't much of a stretch to go, okay, well, they did one that was the most high-profile person you could possibly imagine. Might there be others out there? And when you look at these people and you see, like, there's no hips. There's just a straight line going up and down, which that's not how a woman is shaped. The woman is shaped like this because the birthing canal has to be wider. The hips have to be wider in order for the baby to exit the womb. And then you look at the body and it just goes like that. And then the shoulders are like that, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. They're
like that.
Here's one skull. Whoa's Brittany Griner. That's a man.
Yeah. It's a dude. Hey, yo, man. Like, I was in this Russian prison, man. That's funny.
Sorry, I didn't know what that was going to be when I just saw it in miniature and I put it up briefly. But it's an amusing image of Michelle Obama. Sorry about that. Brittany Griner. I don't know what the truth is there. I mean, she's certainly very manly.
That is, what gets me, I get people with this all the time. They're like, Brittany Griner's not a dude. And I have it saved on my phone so I could just play it automatically. But it's the interview that Brittany did with ESPN like 2 years ago. And it was like, yeah, you know, we just wanted to come down to Connecticut and get the win. And we didn't get the win. We did. And I was like, and I play it without showing anybody what the video looks like. Is that a man's or a woman's voice? Like, that is definitely a man's voice. You turn around and like, holy shit, that's Brittany Griner. And then you hear the voice of her now not being able to take HRT for 4 months while she's in Russia. The interviews that she gave on the plane was two words because they didn't want her to say too many words because she would have said, yo, I'm very happy to be going home. You know, they're like, so how do you feel? Happy. Oh yeah, yes. Like, those were literally the only things she said, happy and yes. And when she got off the plane, somebody with the cell phone camera got her and was like, Brittany, you're happy to be home? Yeah, I'm happy to be back. And that was all that they said, and then they rushed it away.
He said oh, they was discriminating in Russia. Why would I want to play basketball in Russia? They're discriminating against us there.
If they played the Final Four, that I wouldn't go because they'd be discriminating against us.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, they told us this in Juana Man. Like, you know, they made a whole movie about a guy hiding out in the WNBA. But the reality is like two-thirds of the WNBA is dudes and the rest are just probably just tall chicks who couldn't get a job anywhere else. We're like, well, I guess we got to give you some sort of retirement.
Yeah, well, it's an eternal mystery, I guess, about the trans thing.
The WNBA hasn't turned a profit in 26 years. They've been around for 26 years. What are they doing? 26 years, zero. No company would still be open after 26 years of turning zero profit. They're doing something other than making money. Put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, about the trans thing, there was a guy who had a channel on YouTube years ago called Transvestigations. Yes. And he was going after different e-celebs. And he did make one about me where he thought that I was a a tranny, a transgender, because I don't have an Adam's apple, right? And I think his only evidence was that I don't have an Adam. Now, the truth is, I've got a fat fucking neck, right? That's the reason. And I've always had this.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, so it's not my fault. You know, what can I say? And I'm not a tranny.
It's in there. It's in there. Yeah. I got called a tranny, too. People,
I'm sure it is. You could see it if you press.
Yeah, you can see if you pull back on the skin, it's there. But when this whole trans investigation thing first popped up and we got on Telegram, there's a lot of trans investigation channels now. And there's one, it's like Transvestigation 777 or something like that. And they've done me, they've done Richard Spencer, all the guys at all the other, anybody else, but they did me. They're like, well, he's short and he has no neck. He has to be a woman. And I'm like, I'm in the
group. There it is.
I'm like, I'm right here. Cool. I don't know. I look over on the couch and I'm like, babe. Tell the kids that I'm a woman. Like, you know, I don't know what to tell these people. Like, there can be. I'm like, yeah, but we're not, though. None of us are famous. Famous people do that. Celebrities. Celebrities are the demigods. They're worshipped. They're celebrated. These people think of themselves as gods. And they go back to the androgynous agenda. It goes all the way back to these Gnostics or these Satanists or whatever. They believe that, you know, Adam was made imperfect when they pulled the rib out of him and created Eve. So we need to come back together. And that's where the transgender, we need to have no gender and become back as one. You know, their God is both.
They're priesthood. And it's an ancient priesthood. These transvestite priests that people used to, worship, basically, and they had a special place in society. And the whole like religion that you see, that a lot of it controls this world, is this Kabbalistic religion. The Twin Towers themselves were the part of this religion. It's two going into one. You know, now it's one World Trade Center. They bring down the two, they combine it, synthesis into one. And that's the same thing. This Adam Kadmon, which is the male, it was originally the divine androgyne who was split by the demiurge into male and female. And the goal is to recombine that into this divine androgyne again. And so it really is a religion with these people. And if you want more evidence of it, look at how hard the trans agenda is pushed in society now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of these people now, they push the really gross ones in front of your face, because then when you do look at the ones who are very passable, you'll say, no way. Because I know that it's like the yes, ma'am guy. It's ma'am guy.
Macho ma'am tranny savage.
Yeah.
Possibly be Nicole Kidman, though.
But like the voice, even like they have a surgery where they can make your voice a woman's voice.
That is so evil.
Yeah.
The surgery thing. When we did our second the trans agenda episode, we played this video of a guy who was transitioning, and he was very male at the beginning. He was definitely taking hormones. You could see he was feminizing his face and whatever, grew his hair out, wore makeup. But the voice was definitely masculine. He was going through these voice, I don't know if it was surgery, if it was hormones plus surgery, whatever it was. He would go through stages, and there was like four stages as he's reading this same passage over and over again. As he goes to the different stages, you can hear how much more female he sounds. By the last one, you wouldn't be able to tell. You can't. There's no way. You know, and people are like, oh, you can't fake voice. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's shrinking the larynx, then I guess it's then that would be it. The voice would change. I inadvertently covered you, Johnny. I put this image up of Rachel Levine, I think it is, this one.
Rachel and Levine.
Richard. I didn't realize that it would so perfectly cover exactly a third of the... So I'm sorry about that. But I was trying to illustrate what you were saying about how they put the... the ugly ones, first and foremost.
So,
well, and right now we have, you know, we have the highest ranking military official in the United States is Admiral Rachel Levine, who was Dr. Richard Levine, pediatrician at one point. Why are they always around the kids? Former assistant director of nuclear waste or whatever it was, Sam Brinton. He was a tranny who was arrested for stealing women's clothes. Like, these are, you have in the White House, the chief of staff, I guess, or not the chief of staff. Who is it? He's basically, who's the guy who wears like the sailor dress around the White House?
Little gay guy. He's on the phone like this.
He's like the White House, like head intern or something. And there's another one that went, like, all these trains, they're putting him in such prominent positions in our government that it's definitely part of the agenda. There were no trannies. There were no trannies in the government 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There weren't 15 years ago. There was no such thing as a tranny. There were cross dressers. There was no drag queens. There were just cross dressers or transvestites. That's all it was.
They certainly weren't reading stories to children.
No. Oh, there was no drag queen story hour, or as I like to call it, sexual predators in lingerie shaking their junk in front of your kids. Oh, rumor, you don't like story hour.
Yeah, it's just amazing this stuff, mm-hmm. and so obviously perverse and wrong.
My favorite part of the trans thing now is how lesbians have to validate trans women's mental problems by having them validate their mental problems. So you have men have Grindr, right? What are the male hookup site or whatever it is? Women have, what's it called? Scissor, whatever. I don't know. But SCIZR, scissor. And so you have all, it's a lesbian dating site, and it's now overpopulated by trans women who are basically pre-op tranny. My theory is that every pre-op tranny is a lesbian because they're just ugly dudes who can't get pussy. And so they put a bra on and they dress up like a girl and they get there and they're like, I'm a trans woman. You have to validate me as a trans person. So you have to have lesbian sex with me. And I validate you as a lesbian. And that's why there are articles written where the girl wrote, I felt like I was raped by this trans woman. And I'm like, well, that's because he put his penis in your vagina, you dumb bitch. Like, it's rape.
Here's an amusing meme to illustrate the point that you're making.
Yeah. Yes. The last line, especially.
The blacks.
I mean,
I should be careful.
No, but you're not wrong, though. But that's the thing. I've seen it. I've seen in every single pre-op tranny is a lesbian. Every single one. Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner is a lesbian. Every single one of them, they don't want. They're not gay men. The ones that get their dick cut off and do all the other stuff, they're gay. They want to have sex with men.
It does seem like this bizarrely obvious way for men to prey on women, to just really pretend to be one.
And that's why we have TERFs, the trans-exclusive radical feminists, which are, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess. They hate us. They hate the three of us right here, definitely. But they will, you know, they will fight for, you know, against the trans woman.
Yeah. You
know, it's amazing. Yeah.
This far down on the slippery slope, they didn't want to go all the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, listen, you're not a woman. You're never going to be a woman. It's true. They're never going to be a woman. When you're 10,000 years from now, and they dig your skull up, and you're like, that's a guy's skull.
Yes, indeed. That this is a thing with the archaeology that they just immediately say, well, it's a guy. I mean, you can see it's a guy, and if we did DNA testing on it or whatever, it's going to be a male. And there we go. I mean, even Germaine Greer said, I remember reading this in I read half of one of her books once. And she said in that, it was like round about the year 2000. And she said, if you were to do a DNA test on a transsexual, like male to female, every cell in her body would say that she's a male. Every single cell. And that this is a thing. You know, I mean, I don't really have any particular views on the trans issue in and of itself. I think that there are probably people with gender dysphoria. It's a genuine thing. I don't even care because there are so few of them. There are so few genuine kids that it's just not even worth having an opinion on, to be honest. But the social phenomenon, then the start that making it a fad, mm-hmm. and then promoting it and encouraging it, and people who almost certainly would never even have considered it for themselves otherwise. Yeah. I think that's terrible.
It is. And again, like when we were kids, you know, you wanted to rebel, you got your ear pierced, worst case scenario, you got a tattoo. Pretty permanent, right? Now you want to rebel against your parents, you cut your dick off, you cut your tits off. That's pretty fucking permanent. Like, I have holes, you know, my earrings that I used to have when I was younger, you know, those are permanent. Those are reminders of my stupid youth.
Sorry.
But when you cut your body parts off, that is far, far worse. I mean, there's no going back. There's no going back from that.
No, indeed. I mean, it is something that I think will be looked back. Hopefully, I hope it will be looked back on as a, an era of just baffling insanity to our descendants. Yeah, I certainly do. I mean, it's a scary thing. And as I said earlier at the start, what the worst part of it is how focused it is on children. I find that very scary indeed.
I've said this a lot. It's that no matter what it is, they want your kids. They always want your kids. It started with the guy named Kindergarten, right? And it's, oh, what a weird coincidence. That he's the guy who said that you can indoctrinate a people much more easily if you take them away from your parents early. Yeah, kindergarten. Well, and then from there, you know, it just goes on. And you have grooming, you know, you have teachers grooming students and Discord servers. And you have, oh, it's just disgusting. Public schools are probably the worst place for kids.
You know what the other part is that, thing I mentioned earlier about the demoralization as well, like you'll read an article where it says woman sexually molests 8-year-old girl or something like that, right?
I saw an example of this just today,
like a 50-year-old man who's balding up to here with like long stringy hair, and it couldn't be anything but a man, but they're calling him a woman, and he's using his status as a woman to be a predator and to groom kids or girls or whoever. And then when you read the article, if you're a normie, like there's got to be this massive disconnect that goes on in your head. Like that's not a woman, but they're saying it's a woman. And I can't help but think that that's all woman. Good grief. That's even worse than the one that I was thinking of.
Mia Williams.
Jesus.
My meme folder has really been mined during this stream, but I do have these things ready. So yeah, it's that's real. I saw that about a year ago. I think there's a grammatical error somewhere.
It's incredible. Yeah. You have like the shop teacher with the giant boobs pretending to be a tranny or whatever. That's, you know, and then you have these most ridiculous cartoonish examples of it all the way around, and you can't do anything about it. As a normal, you know, hetero, cis, masculine guy, you are not allowed to say or do or even think anything untoward about any of these people.
Yes, it's frustrating because, I mean, it's just so obviously ridiculous. Everyone
they have the moral superiority over you, you know? You're a bigot. You're a bigot who's, you know, you probably want to have sex with your kids. That's what they say. These things say to parents who are out there protesting these drag queen story hours or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, the drag queen story hour stuff is just unbelievable. I'll close this topic with this one more amusing meme for everyone to enjoy. There we go. So very good. But anyway, okay.
You can tell it's a man because of the prominent brow ridge.
Right.
Just in case you're in any doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, let's wrap this one up because it's been very enjoyable, but I am starting to get tired. So
absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well. Oh yeah. We should do the questions. I forgot about that. Okay. So we'll go through this quickly. Remnant posting when we were talking about COVID at the start. Said the COVID mass hysteria is proof that the vast majority of people will believe anything as long as it comes from a source they perceive to be authoritative. Mm-hmm. Even among dissident rightists, many of our guys fell for this nonsense, and that is unfortunately true.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the authority thing is key to all of this.
Well, there's obviously a phrase. It's like I pity those who take authority for the truth rather than truth as the authority.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. It's a weird thing, but it seems to be what most people are like. It just seems to be in the nature of things. Okay, and then he also... He's a good guy. Okay, and he also said, some may remember a leaked Google presentation called The Selfish Ledger, in which they talked about a future where Google openly builds a profile of every minute detail of your life in order to better serve you. Highly recommended viewing in order to understand the mindset of these people. So that's probably when we were talking about data gathering and the obsession with data and the technocratic view of man as just, you know, data and algorithms and so on.
Again, that was a revelation of the method. Like, they're doing that already. That's being done. It's been done for years. And they're
telling you.
Yeah.
That gate is closed. You're not getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, here's another. This is from Alabama Hot Pocket. And he asked, where do you see the trans thing at in 20 years? Are we going to see it progress to where men are nearly identical to biological women? Or are we going to keep seeing these antagonistic gargoyle lab accidents who obviously don't pass as women as a way to preserve an element in culture that can attack whitey?
20 years? I don't know. I don't think I can predict anything in 20 years. I think it's going to be both. Actually, if you're going to go, you know, it'll be both. They'll still have the hideous gargoyle trainings, and they will still be doing the other stuff too.
It seems to me like they're moving towards this transhumanist future across the board in every single area that they can make it happen. And seeing what they right now seems to be like kind of seeing what they can get away with. And so we saw this recent advertisement where it's a concept design for baby pods, matrix pods, where you're growing babies in these pods. And they're genetically designing their own babies. They're saying, like, this is what you're going to be able to do in the future, is you're going to be able to choose the traits of your baby. Of course, that's only going to be available to people who have enough money, who are going to be a very tiny elite. And then the rest of the people, I think, and this is, again, I don't know if this is what's going to happen, but it's what they want to happen, like the future that they're trying to push for, would be where the elite people at the top of the system are going to be designing the cattle class of humans that they're growing in these pods. And people, like, testosterone itself has what, halved or something, or is it even less than
way
that?
Worse than that
now? It's extremely low. All of this again goes back to like what I was saying earlier, is I don't think that there's one person in control of all of this thing. It's a spiritual sort of a phenomenon that's occurring, where the food that you eat, the water that you drink, whatever's being sprayed in the air, the lifestyles that people are living, the chemicals that they're ingesting, the vaccines that people are taking, all of this is this perfect storm that is androgenizing people. It is making females more masculine. It is making men more feminine. And then on top of it, it's sterilizing people so that babies aren't even being produced by normal people in the first place. So they want a Adam Cadmon androgynous future. Now, that's going to be up to people and God whether or not that happens. But in their ideal future, yeah, I think that it's going to be like you're not able to tell what it is that you're dating, and you're not allowed to ask, and you just have to do it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, like Sam Hyde said, state-enforced homosexuality.
Yeah,
it's going to be way worse than that. Mm. It's going to be way worse than that. Yeah, I think that, well, that very dystopic baby farm commercial that we watched the other day, while crazy, it was all CGI and was all like read by an AI, basically. What did it remind? There was something that reminded us of. I forgot what it was. They did something. Oh, the suicide pods.
Yeah,
they did the suicide pods, and now in Canada you have maids. So,
and that is very sinister,
mm-hmm.
And it's come out of nowhere. I didn't realize that this was on the cards, but it's off in the way.
They told us about it in Futurama. Suicide, 25 cents.
Right, okay. I never watched Futurama for some reason. Hey, it was just Matt, never my thing.
Meaning never misses.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. And then M asked, what's the deal with airline food? I don't know about that. I mean,
airline food? It's a Jerry Seinfeld joke.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's another one I never watched.
Deal with airline food?
Right, okay. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Does anyone have an answer for that one? I mean,
they got rid of peanuts, which I feel is a travesty.
Like, well, everybody's allergic to peanuts now, so.
Not me.
I know. And I agree with Louis C. This is one time I agree with Louis C.K. It's like, you know, if you're supposed to be allergic to something, maybe, you know, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe we take the warning labels off. allergies deal. Or, I don't know.
Very annoying.
I like peanuts.
All right. Grace State of I've forgotten. Let me see this. Grace State of Mind says, hold on. All love to the Paranormies gang. Merry Christmas, fellow electrician from Sweden. Oh, that's quite nice.
Merry Christmas.
All right. And Rock Ape says, love Paranormies. Lads, please Oh, God. Please ruin Woz's night by informing him that all his celebrity crushes are packing, a.k.a. trans-apocalyptic conspiracy. Okay, is Avril Lavigne a tranny?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
And the musicians are the worst because castrati have existed since the beginning of any of this stuff. And the castrati were the celebrities back in the day. They were the boys who could sing soprano, and then they castrate them, and strange things would happen to their bodies. They would develop really long arms, legs, and necks, sort of like Victoria's Secret models.
Right. Well, it's just as well I'm too normie to believe in this stuff.
Okay.
Because that means I can continue believing that Avril Lavigne
you
is
can
female.
Continue to stay there. So,
thank God for that. I mean, should I ask you about Nicole Kidman? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, really? Well, you know how you can tell? Look at as they age. You can't hide your DNA. No matter how many surgeries you have, you cannot hide your DNA. While, like...
Come on. Michelle Pfeiffer's gorgeous.
Not anymore. Julia Roberts looks like Woody Allen now. Like, the girls from Friends, every single one of the girls from Friends, like, looks like a man. Including Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, dear, you're breaking my heart. Well,
I know. Dude, it broke my heart too, but that's the whole point. Mm. The point of the trans thing, and this is what people fail to understand, is that is a psyop that's been going for so long, and it is meant to fuck you up. It is meant to have you being in lust with the opposite, the incorrect opposite sex. It is meant to fuck women up. Can you imagine what trying to look like something you physically can never look like has done to so many white girls? Like trying to look like a Victoria's Secret supermodel who doesn't have any hips because they're a man. You know, no matter how many times you stick your finger down your throat and throw up, you're not going to look like that. You know, and it's destroyed this whole trans agenda with these secret trannies. I'm not talking about like the macho man tranny savage types. But the secret trannies, especially in like the fashion industry and entertainment, look at what like people like the Kardashians have turned people into. You've got Gwen Stefani, the Cash Me Outside girl, and like four other famous celebrities all look like Kim Kardashian now because they've been surgically modified to look like that. Like it's disgusting. And these people are already, especially like Gwen Stefani was born male anyways. So this is just some other modification. But
all right, well, yeah. I'm gonna stick to my guns here and say that right. Avril Lavigne is female. Okay. She has to be, because otherwise the universe is just gonna explode from me. I just can't handle it.
I know.
Stay away from the Victoria's Secret models. It's
okay.
Yeah, my joke about that is people.
If like, I ever get anywhere near them, I'll bear that in mind.
People like to say to like you know Leonardo DiCaprio. Some people like to shop for underwear out of those catalogs. You know, ha ha ha. And you know because he's always dating Victoria's Secret models. But the real joke is that he likes chicks with dicks. And there's no such thing as chicks with dicks. It's dudes with tits.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. On that bombshell. Which has probably ruined many guys' nights. Let's wrap this one up. So, okay. I think that's all the super chats. That's fine. So thank you for that. I will be back tomorrow night. Let me just see. Okay, the Ayatollah, then Faust, then Young Europa Verlag, and then Kino Casino. So that should be another bizarre mix there. Yeah. All right. Strange lineup.
That's going to be fun. But yeah, thank you for having us, Wolves. Really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting us. This was really cool. I've listened to The Millennial many, many times. Never thought I'd ever be on.
Yeah, I've been a fan for a long time too, and it's really cool to have been able to. And it was a really fun time, and I really enjoyed it as well. Thanks so much.
All right. That's great.
Paranormal.com. Check it out.
Yep. It will all be linked below. So, yeah, it's been a real roller coaster, this one. So, thank you.
Get on Telegram if you're not on Telegram. Telegram's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Telegram's fantastic. Yeah, lots of fun there. My life revolves around Telegram. So, yeah, I certainly recommend it.
And all of us will actually talk to you.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Paranormies, Alt Skull, and Johnny Monoxide, thank you for appearing on Millennial 8.
Thank you.
Everyone else, Thanks. I will Merry see Christmas. You tomorrow night.
Merry yeah. Christmas, everybody.
Okay. I will see you all tomorrow night. Bye-bye for now. Merry Christmas. Okay. Merry Christmas. See ya.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The show must go on, but it needs your help. There are many ways to make a cash donation. Find all of these at millennial.com/donate. Your kindness will be warmly appreciated. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile blogger. Please help him continue. Until next time, enjoy the show and spread the word.